This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is what we like to call here in Phoenix, 7 o'clock. Well, 7:01. Fuck you. It doesn't matter. We're not real sticklers on time, are we?
I am.
Marnie is. I know. She was early. 9 minutes early.
What is it? It takes 6 million years for that clock to be off by 1 second, or what was that
thing? I don't know.
I think it's very interesting that you're like 9 minutes. Like, that's a lot of time.
No, but you got here at 6:51. I happened to notice the time because I really thought it was going to be Katie. And it wasn't Katie.
I like that she's fascinated by the clock. How do you know what time I was here? They're called watches, dear.
Everybody's got
nine
one.
9 minutes and 42 seconds.
Well, I just like, I'm that very atomic clock on the wall.
Hey.
Yes. Accurate.
And is it the temperature in Celsius now?
No. 40 is the, I think 40 is the humidity. 79 is our current temperature. And I left you, Al, right here.
Oh, wait. I always think it's the temperature outside.
You've got your...
Oh, my God, my thermometer.
The infrared thermometer, so we can... How are your nuts?
My nuts are a delightful 79.7 degrees.
Hit my juice.
You don't have to be that close. You can
chili,
do it from far away.
57.9.
Oh, chili.
Perfect temperature for juice.
Now, didn't we determine a perfect room temperature for wine that you said?
I hope it's 73.1.
Because you said in Arizona, it's a little different than everywhere else.
Great, because
it's
room
fucking hot here.
I always forget. I think wine should be like... red wine should be like 60-some degrees or something. If only there was a device. Hi, Harrison.
Between 60 and 65 degrees Fahrenheit.
We would like to say hi to everybody. Yeah. We have so many people in, like, Richard's here, Tomo from New Zealand. There was Harrison's here, my mom.
Hi, everybody.
Meow Cal. Laura's here.
Meow.
Hi, Laura.
Stephen was here. I saw Stephen earlier, didn't I? I thought he was in here, too.
I think Sean's chiming in later.
Our new friend Luis from Brazil.
Yeah, Luis from Brazil. I'm interested to find out about Luis from Brazil. I enjoy a lot of the photos that I've seen of people in Brazil.
it's a place I think I might like to go to.
Drew from Wisconsin.
To Brazil.
Sure.
No.
Wrong
song.
Wrong song.
The girl from
San Jose.
We can't get sued.
Yeah. Exactly. Not by anyone with any musical knowledge or taste.
Wait a minute.
Welcome back,
Dionne Warwick.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Oh, there's
no. Dionne Warwick is lovely.
Yeah.
I'm talking about her.
Yeah. Do you know the way to San Paulo? No, that doesn't work.
Doesn't work at all.
Well, welcome back. It seems like it has been forever since we've
been
here.
Nearly a month, I think, since we've all been here
because you made the biggest mistake of your life and took an eternity vacation, because that makes sense.
Sweet baby Jesus. That fucker was never ending.
No shit.
Yeah, really. We were talking about it the other day. I said, when does he? Or no, we were talking about just the vacation in general. And Kelly and I were still in our honeymoon phase when we went on a 2-week European vacation, and I didn't want to be around her.
After a couple
by
of
the
days.
End. Yeah. I mean, at the very end of it, like, we didn't want to do anything. We literally sat in our hotel room that had no cable and watched and had, like, reruns of Charlotte's Web in the background. Because we didn't want to, A, spend any more godforsaken money in that country.
Yeah.
Jesus God. And B, like, do anything. I just needed to lay down.
Well, I kept switching casts, so that helps a lot.
Oh, that's helpful.
Yeah.
Right.
Every 6 or 7 days, I completely switch the cast of characters.
And you have to.
Yeah.
For that amount of time.
But the one funny day, well, there was lots of funny stuff, but the one day, everybody had different plans, and there was a barbecue that I had no, like, interest in. I didn't have any interest. I kind of needed to be alone.
Mm.
But I was like, all right, I can't stop drinking cold turkey because I'm at a level of alcohol that really needs to be tapered off of. And then I realized when I rode my bike to the beach and did the walk through the marshes by myself and had a little spot, and I'm like, okay, it's not the alcohol withdrawal. Like, I'm having, like, people withdrawal. I've had, like, 13 people entourages with me every second of every day, from, like, sometimes coming to get me in my bedroom to wake me up to find out how to use the coffee maker till they put me to bed.
Which is not your standard.
No.
Everything else is not.
Yeah, the 13-person entourage at all times.
It was just so funny because I got to the beach and I'm like, there's no one to talk to. And I'm like, I don't feel like meeting new people. I can't meet any more people because I can't remember any people I've already met's names. So what the fuck am I going to do with you, sir or ma'am? That was the funniest thing.
Back to the barbecue for you, sir.
Good God.
So I told him, I'm like, God damn it, I wanted to be alone, but I couldn't.
A miss. Well,
got back here and started that alone shit back up, though. Good times.
Worked out real well for him. Made a comeback real strong. This is show number 176. I like to throw that in because when I listen back, I like to know which fucking show I'm editing.
Yeah.
That helps me. By the way, program note, though we did miss last week, it was just everybody's life was, though Al was out of town, and Marty, you were
crazy.
Out.
I had work.
You had work, yep. And Katie actually wasn't feeling well.
Yeah.
And it just was
becoming like the deathly illness.
Good for us to take the week off. So we did. We're here, obviously, now. We do miss next week. I will be out of town for work in Atlanta, Georgia, because there's nothing like going to Atlanta, Georgia in August. I've never been, but I hear it's rather humid.
Hell hath no fury. Yeah. Like, whatever the hell that's going
to
be.
Yeah. So I'm going there for a week. Yourself, and then we will return.
The devil went down to Georgia. I need you to listen to that song at least once on an iPod while you're there. Mm-hmm. Or phone or iDevice.
I can sing it for you. Upload a video.
Really? Katie, would you like to?
Yep, it's one of my karaoke standbys.
No, it is not.
I love it so much. Yes, I do.
I'm a little frightened.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's real fun. I've got
give me a give,
timing
can you,
down.
Can you recite? Give me something. Give me something here.
Yeah, went down to Georgia. I was looking for a soul to steal.
Yeah. He was in a bind. He was way behind. He was going to make a deal. Shit. Now I need the words in front of me.
Yeah,
a young man saw it on a fiddle and played it high.
You son of a bitch.
And the devil jumped up on the hook and stopped and said, boy, let me tell you what.
I
get chills. I love this song so much.
Oh, and people all around the world are going, what the fuck is she singing?
No, it doesn't sound like Charlie Daniels Band.
It's so great.
That actually probably transcends, you know, our borders, that song.
That's one of my favorite summer of music. There was an Italian festival that they located to the little field near my house that's now a fucking movie theater.
Yes, right.
But at the time, they had rides, and there was the Flying Himalayas. It's a thing that you sit in a car, and you go backwards in a circle over a bump and stuff. And it's a little bit more nauseating than it sounds. It looks kind of simple. But the whole summer, we would, like, go there and ride the rides, and the best music was on the Flying Himalayas, and they played like Rock and Roll Fantasy and The Devil Went Down to Georgia, and we were all in love with the carnies that ran that shit. And
that says a problem right there. The carny love relationship.
Hot carny, hot carny playing The Devil Went Down to Georgia. I was in. I said, mama.
I don't know about
that. He local, mama.
He local boy.
That's my new
thing. If you are listening from Jordan, we'd like to know who you are there. All of a sudden, Luis, I don't know if he's gone or not. I don't see Brazil listening anymore, unless he's changed over and is watching us. I'm not sure. But if Luis is still out there, we'd like to know him or anybody else. Say
and
hello.
I'm Molly. She lost her virginity to Night Moves.
From a Flying Himalayan. That's amazing, Molly.
Flying Himalayan. That would have been a bumpy ride.
Or I love my virginity. I like that too. I love my virginity.
Molly, does that mean you lost your hymen on the Himalayan? These are questions that the world wants to know, Molly.
Played.
Literally.
Molly.
I figured.
I can't find Molly. Help me find Molly.
Molly, you in danger, girl.
Molly, you in danger, girl. Okay. That turned out to be the phrase of my entire vacation.
You in danger?
Molly, you in danger, girl. I said it fit in with every single thing that came up, and it was just a quick way to, like, cut through time and space. But then I decided after the second Malaysian disaster that now they just walk on the plane and say, Molly, you in danger, girl, and then just sit down. No seatbelts, no emergency exits, just Molly, you in danger, girl.
Buckle up.
And then Miss Malaysia just sits down and enjoys her ride.
Miss Malaysia. We know where this plane is. Aww. Sit down.
And there's like a blowjob spot in P-Town called.
That's awesome.
It's called the Booty Bunk or the Dick Dock or something. I don't know. It's got some name.
I'm sure it does.
So the one guy that was going there and having his fun every night, he was like, don't you come around with your big mouth. I'm like, I'm just going to walk up to him. Molly, you in danger, girl. You're getting a blowjob.
The Dick Dock.
His name really isn't Molly. I'm sorry.
And we were playing Cards for Humanity, and we actually made it because you have blank cards. You can write your own stuff.
I've never played.
It's offensive to everyone.
Yeah, I want to play
My one card was the Profoundly Handicapped. I took a picture of it because I laughed so hard. So I'm like, only I would get the Profoundly Handicapped.
You would.
I won with it.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
I was trying to make a joke, but I'm going to offend Marnie. So yeah. I'm just going to let that go.
Well, right ahead. When he sent that thing, I laughed my ass off.
Because I had to send it to her, and then...
God, I laughed my ass.
The one thing we were saying is, come up to my room and let me show you Rush Limbaugh's fat, shitty body.
I didn't understand what that meant.
Because the card was Rush Limbaugh's fat, shitty body. So then somebody put, come up to my room and let me show you. And I got to play Rush Limbaugh's fat, shitty body. And the other one was a sad, fat dragon with no friends.
I kept seeing it. I didn't understand at all what you were doing.
It was all Cards to Humanity. But the sad, fat dragon with no friends just became the code word for everything. Oh, look at that girl. She's a sad dragon with no friends.
Well, now, another upcoming tonight on the show, the return of a critically acclaimed segment called Crime Scene Footage, where we, in studio, our Studio C players reenact 911 calls. Later on tonight, after Hour 2 starts and Al gives us our drinking word, we will... Actually, when headlines are done, we will then go into that segment. So be sure to stick around for that, because I think tonight's going to be a doozy. It's got three people involved in it, and Al actually gets to play a man. I think that's
first time.
That really going to stretch his acting skills. I think it's going to be good.
That's good.
Also later, of course, like I said, the drinking game starts. Well, we do it. We start drinking now, and we hope you are too. The drinking word is given out at the beginning of hour two. Thoughtful vulgarity does always round us out at the end of hour three. We have headlines, entertainment. Katie has sports and other stuff. All kinds of shit, but we're going to kick it off.
We have inhalers and corks.
Oh, yeah, because he's been having asthmatic attacks.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
danger. Yes.
The weather's been good to you.
Well, Katie and I, we have a bonding moment in regards to our week, what we've been up to, because we just wrapped up what I would say is the best Dancing with the Bars production ever in the 7-year history.
Oh, for sure.
We had a fantastic time. It was
so good.
Celebrity theater.
It was the best thing. Technically, it went off without a hitch. It was great. The winner, I thought, was deserved.
Oh, my
she
God.
Did a fantastic job.
Like, all around.
Job.
Yeah. And and the winner, of course, was Diamond Dallas.
From Columbus Nightclubs. Representing Columbus, yes.
Dancing with our very own Sean Nerdahl.
Who, by the way, won last year.
Yes. Oh, I wonder who he won with. Did he have a partner?
I don't know.
I can't remember her name. I heard
she was lovely, actually.
No, Katie, and if
practically perfect in every way.
Now, if you look behind you, though, the one is gone. Your first is, that was still there.
That sad thing takes its place.
I did get first place. I was Sean's first place. That's exciting.
Now he's got number two.
Yep, number two under the belt. He literally said to me after the night was over, like after the company, we hadn't even left the building yet, and he goes, I'm already thinking about three-peat next year. I got a song in my head. I need to find a partner.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
He's, like, on it, ready.
For those of you who have any interest in what we're talking about, you can either Google Dancing with the Bars, or if you want to look up a hashtag on Facebook, it's hashtag DWTB, Dancing with the Bars, TWTB 2014. And you'll find a bunch of pictures of us and the venue and dancers, and you'll see videos we posted. Katie and I did a video as we were driving to the venue that morning on, I don't know how many cups of coffee
it
you
was
were
about
on.
Four. At that point,
yeah, she was.
Lot.
Oh my God, we're going to the venue! She's just driving.
Real excited. Well, it was just like it was such a fun experience to be a part of it, and not, you know, the last 2 years I've danced and I've just been nervous as all get out, and that's equally as fun, but in a much different,
more
pukey way. So this was like not that. You know,
it was
not stressful. It was just fun. And now Clayton and Gary hosted on stage. I did the back room, green room interviews.
Now, who was the D-list celebrity that was?
There was none. Okay. Gary Guerin decided.
So that D-list.
No, Gary Guerin decided. And I think it makes more sense, really. He
just can't not do it.
The control freak of that person is like, I just can't relinquish this to anybody else. So he kept on. And then to Katie and I,
with a week to spare, he was like, I have to do this. I just can't not. I can't not be on stage.
Well, it's his event, so.
It is. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what? I got
And if it's a success, then more power to
you. Right. Don't screw it up if it's not working. When you get a compliment from somebody that you respect in the business and whatever aspect, it makes you feel really good. And Barbara Seville said to me, and I honestly didn't even realize Barbara was in the audience. I had no idea she was even there.
She's so quiet.
Because I didn't see. And literally from the stage, I could see about the first row and a half. I couldn't see anybody. I didn't know where anybody was. Yeah, I mean, you could hear voices and you knew a couple people. But I didn't realize Barbara was there. But she sent me a message and she said that I was very engaging with the audience and it was very good. Yeah. It was very nice to hear from somebody that I respect, because I think Barbara is fantastic with audiences.
So good.
She can ad lib her way out of absolutely anything. I respect
Barbara.
You
were very good.
Yeah,
thank you.
You were very good.
I enjoyed it. It was
just neat. Now, were you at the first year? Were you a judge?
No, I think. I don't think I've ever judged it.
You were not. Okay.
No, I think
I missed the first year.
I think I missed the first two. I think this is my fifth one.
Okay. So it was just really exciting to go from, you know, think about the first place we hosted was this little tiny bar.
It was a bar,
and it was just kind of this idea that Selena Vega and Gary had come up with in their apartment.
Drunk. According to them. That's not me trying to, yeah.
And no judgment.
I lived across the street. It was when he lived in the judgment. Little places right on Campbell and 15th, and I lived right across the street. So,
I remember those.
Yeah, it was when they lived there.
Right across from you.
And I had ended up.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah,
all of right a sudden, across I, from I was you. I thought you were like, you lived at Oregano's?
No.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it was just really, really neat to see where it came from, where we had this like tiny little dance floor and just a whole bunch of people just crammed into this tiny bar at Forbidden. And now it's Celebrity Theater. And there were the performances were just flawless. I mean, they were so fun.
It was very good.
Big props and like really showy, a big show compared to what I think has been in previous years.
It made such a difference for the performers because you're not getting ready in the back room of a bar. You're getting ready in a real, like my mom kept saying, it's a theater. Yeah. You got a real dressing room and there's real facilities and you're not on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a ramp, you walk up to the stage. It's yeah. conducive to just everybody performing better.
I thought the ballroom last year was very nice. That I thought that was,
it was right. good. And but from a performance aspect, we're all like in one giant room, which right. is fine and equally fun, you know. But it just felt kicked up a notch.
Yeah.
Right, a lot more professional. It just was. It was fantastic, and I hope that we do it again there next year. Because
me too.
I mean, in my like you said, Sean's already working on a three-peat and numbers. I'm already thinking of ways to make it technically better than it was this year for us as the hosts.
Yeah,
of it.
There were some things, but but what was one of my favorite performances?
Did the stage spin during it?
No,
it
we
did not. Okay. No. Although I've been there when it's been spinning, it's really neat.
Oh yeah.
But okay. So aside from, Diamond Dallas, excuse me, and Sean, who won, my other favorite performances were second and third place,
which were Carlton.
Yep, Carlton from Charlie's right. and Shawnee Maude.
It was the cutest number. Such a cute number.
I like can't wait for these to go up online because I was in the green room and I had a TV screen like this, but I couldn't hear anything. I had no audio. So I could only hear what little was I could like hear kind of seeping
noise,
through right from the show. And theirs was like at this. They were at this little cafe, and they were both mimes. Mm-hmm. And they did this like it was just so cute. They had all these tricks. They were like cartwheeling with each other. You know, it was just the cutest.
It was
totally in sync.
Cute.
Really, really fun. That was the one from backstage that I was like. Couldn't hear barely anything, and as it's going on, I'm clapping and I'm cheering, and it was so much fun. And then Joanne's and Ellie's was very, it was really good. It was really high energy, and the coolest thing, I mean, it added so much. I mean, their dance was wonderful, and they had a live saxophone player
on stage with them. That was really cool too.
Oh, Kenny G.
When he walked off stage, I said to him, I'm like, I felt like you were going to break into Careless Whisper at any moment.
Yeah. Well, and like the song, they had two songs, and the song changed like right when, you know, Ellie like takes off the top part of her dress and Joe and like rips open his shirt. And then it like turns into this really popular
like a sexual thumping song.
Yeah, song with the saxophone. It was just like so cool.
Oh, anyway, it sounds really entertaining.
Yeah, so it was a good time.
It was fun.
Yeah, so we did that, and you've recovered from illness.
I was sick.
Oh, she told me the cutest story about Palmer, her daughter. You remember she has a daughter?
I do, Pucker. Yeah.
Pucker. Palmer, Pucker. Uh-huh. She says that Palmer gets in her car seat that's in the back seat of her SUV, and she knows how to buckle herself in now. I just think it's the cutest thing.
Yeah.
Like she's telling her, Mommy, I'm buckled in.
Yeah, Mommy, I'm all buckled in. I mean, she is just real fun.
I think that's
so cute. The one fun thing she didn't, that's not fun, is...
Because there's something that's not fun.
And this is totally my fault. I don't know if I told you this, but so we have...
Oh, no, you told me.
Yes, this is so horrible.
So
we have the couple of cabinets that are baby locked. We didn't really baby proof our house. You know, we didn't get crazy. We just figured we'd like watch our child.
Yeah.
So,
could go either way.
Right. But the couple of things, the liquor cabinet, Natch, and like, you know, all the chemicals, like we baby proofed those drawers. So anyway, the liquor cabinet also... holds the toaster. So we have open it every morning and I don't always close it behind. So she's over there trying to close the little baby latch and I'm not paying any attention. You know, we're just kind of standing there and she goes, fucking God dang it. And I, oh my gosh.
Did you get mad at her for the God
dang
it?
No.
Wait, listen to this third.
You're going to swear. Do it good.
So I'm like, baby? So we don't actually say that word. And I'm debating, do I say the word that we don't say? Do I tell her fucking? That's not a thing we're going to use. So I'm like, don't re-say it. Just, and don't, because she kind of started to get embarrassed, you know, and like a little worried. So I said, it, we're just not going to use it. Mommy's not going to use that word anymore because I drop F-bombs like my truck's
like
parked
water.
Out back.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And right. Exactly. It's
like you're cute. Watering a garden.
Uh-huh. Yes. So I'm like, okay. So I say, baby, we're not going to say that word anymore. So the next day she's got this little, she's pretend locking her room and she's got this little secret key and she can't get the door open. And she goes, fucking dang it. And I'm like, that's not the word. No, God, not the right word to drop. You drop the wrong word, honey.
I like how you're selectively dropping words.
I know. Good listening, baby. Good listening. Yeah.
That one.
Wrong word.
Yeah. Seems like God's on about, that's well, on TV.
You
that's bad.
You were just so funny fucking dick. I know, I wasn't. And I go, no, baby. And she looked back like, I dropped it. Yeah. I dropped the word.
I do.
Anyway.
I would have loved it.
If she would have looked at me like, Linda, listen to me. Which word?
Yeah, well,
pick a word.
Yeah, listen, crazy lady that doesn't lock the liquor cabinet.
I know. Yeah.
Well, then pick a fucking word you don't want me to say.
So, and Kelly says,
exactly.
I start laughing again, and Kelly runs in the room and goes, "Is it bad that I want her to say it again? Just because I want to hear it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, yes, yeah. We're not going to egg our 2-year old on to use fuck again."
Okay, except for have the camera ready.
I know. Always at the ready.
What about your phone recording? What'd you say?
Yeah, say that again, baby.
Say that word again that you're not supposed to say.
Because what you want to do is, like, you know, later in life when she's graduating high school or getting married or whatever, you want to be able to pull that out and be like, now let's flash back to when Paul knows you.
There is nothing better than a swearing baby story. I really don't care about the first time your child walked or talked or shit his pants.
You out.
Or just shit on an airplane seat.
But the first time that they said shit their pants, I want a video of that nonsense.
I want to know. I want to be in the know.
When they actually realize that they have, mommy, I shit my pants.
Oops, I shit my pants.
It's so convenient.
Oops, I just shit the bed.
I just did it too.
Oh,
always funny. Oh,
that always is funny dang stuff.
I just can't choose.
I don't have. I lost whatever.
Sophie over here has got something to do.
What's she doing?
Making a choice.
Oh, okay. She's very busy. No. I just realized I've been ignoring the chat room. If anybody is there, terribly sorry about that. I was listening to Tomo Hates Mimes. Well, I'm not a real big mime, but the dance number was cute.
Yeah, Marcia, I'm not a huge.
Marcia, what you been up to?
Just celebrating Erin's summer.
Oh, very
good.
Yeah. Isn't she going?
The end of her summer was last week.
Okay, so she's back to school now, right?
Yeah, she went back on Monday the 28th.
Oh, okay.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Feels like 100 years
ago. Are the students back?
They're back next
Monday.
Yeah,
so they're. Yeah,
she's actually. She taught all the way through June.
Oh, and then, she did summer school.
She did.
And then when she got done with that, she, in essence, had about 2 weeks.
Yeah, because she was at
the
time. We had to close it out.
Right. Well, and then we went back to get the room ready. There were a couple of days 2 weeks ago. And then last week, she was there most of the week. And didn't have to be. Contract started Monday, but, the 28th.
But wanted to be ready. And most teachers have been back in.
Tomorrow's meet the parents. Or the whatever. Meet the parent thing. And so...
Children, parents. Who else come into this room? It can't be that hard.
How many people is she teaching?
These bastards that come in and they're like, this doesn't look very good. Well, fuck off. Because you didn't supply any money or time.
Oh,
so kiss
rough.
My ass. But they... that's already tomorrow.
Gosh.
So you can't tell me you can show up on Monday, have all these meetings, have everything else, and then be able to get that ready. It's just not possible.
No.
So we went and we celebrated end of summer. Last week, quite a bit, but last Friday was very, very,
you
very
went
fun.
Somewhere
went
else.
To the animal sanctuary up in Prescott.
Yeah.
And
I
want to
go there. What
it
is
was
that?
So cool. Bless you.
Bless you. My God, Alfred.
Right, it's right in Prescott. Bless you, honey.
We're not done.
Whatever you do, if you're going to have wine, don't take any allergy medicine.
Yeah.
And I'll just, that's all I'm sharing with you.
wine and Benadryl is how I live.
Oh, well, it doesn't bode well for Marty. Anyway, so it's this animal sanctuary, Heritage Park, I think it's called.
I'm Googling it now.
And we went up there, and she's deathly afraid of birds, and I'm not a huge reptile fan. And we come around the corner, and there's a bird, and there's the reptile, like, walk in here, kind of, and I was freaking the hell out. But we walked around the corner, and there were these wallabies that were so cute, and lemurs, kind of want to buy one. Just because I need more shit.
You need more shit in your house.
A lemur.
But they were so cute. Big bears and
it was a gay function.
Yeah.
Totally.
Big bears.
It certainly was. So, yeah, we
We just had a really good time. And as we're sitting there, all of a sudden, you know, the clouds just kind of roll over and lovely, and the temperature goes down even more, and then it started to rain. And I always wear dark, dark clothing, except for that day.
You wore
when
light.
I found
oh,
I
your
wore
wet
like,
t-shirt concept.
That's, I remember that post. Perfect.
All of a sudden, like, are you kidding me? But the rain started coming down, and it was lovely, and it was so, it was cool, and it felt great. And then she's like, should we start heading back? And I'm like, sure. And then it came out a little bit more, and then I was like, ow! It was pelting the side of our head. Like, it just
hard rain.
And where is this?
Right in Prescott, actually.
In Prescott,
yep. And so as we had come in, there's a cute little playground for all the kids, and apparently Aaron and I, and there was this there's this red and, like, you know, the old woman in the shoe, this old red shoe old kind of thing. So as we're running back to cover, I'm like, to the shoe, and we run over and we get in
to the shoe.
And we're standing there and we're taking pictures isn't this fun, and getting pelted with rain, and then I saw a lightning all over, and I went, we're in a metal shoe.
abort shoe.
Oh my god!
Abort
what
shoe.
What a fucking idiot! Run to the metal shoe. Good for us. End of summer. End of life. And so anyway, but it was. And we went to Jersey Boys that night.
Oh wow, that's a busy day.
It was a busy day.
You came back down here.
There was a whole lot more that was supposed to happen, but we actually had to go to Target because we were soaked to the bone. Our shoes, our socks, everything. But we were going to go to Mingus Mountain and have a picnic. And
oh
then
God, I
come
used
back.
To camp at Mingus.
That's where Aaron apparently used to go.
I grew
as well.
Up camp at my summer camp was always there.
And so, how was Jersey Boys?
Oh my God!
Wait,
it was so
wait,
good.
Wait, wait. Though I need to back
I
up.
I had so much fun. So Aaron told me I couldn't sing or dance though, so I hated that.
Went to Prescott.
Yeah.
To this thing. Yep. Then you were going to go to Mingus.
Yeah, it's only like a half an hour.
And then
away.
You're coming back here.
Yeah. Shower, get ready, and go to the show. Aaron had no idea what
they
was happening.
They would have showed up at intermission.
Whoa. Yeah.
Actually, no.
All of that.
No, because the rain kept you from.
Oh, with the rain. Yeah. No, that
all
that just kind
of that would have just. I could never do those three things in one day. Like
we
Prescott
got up there like 10
and Mingus
ish, and good. So you go, and then we would have gone. We would have been heading back by 3.
Oh,
shower,
God.
Be done.
Oh, I would have just been so tired.
Oh, no, it was fantastic.
I like that Prescott. I know it's not that far, but it is a day trip for me.
Well, and I didn't get much sleep. And Erin usually does not drive at all, because she usually falls asleep.
Mm. Oh, that's good. You know, narcoleptic drivers are always
but
good to drive.
I had had about an hour of sleep, an hour and a half of sleep. And she's like, do you want me to drive? And I said, yep. Like, I could just feel it. And normally, I'm like, no, I slept the entire, like, out.
Wow.
She started to drive, and I was asleep for an hour and a half, which is real rare. But
oh, that's nice, though.
Yeah. Was it really hot at the... No, you said the weather was nice. I'm,
beautiful.
Like, going here this weekend. I don't know if this looks cool.
I recently saw just random channel surfing, and we have there's, like, a local...
There's a Groupon,
there's
way.
A million channels of chrome-plated crap coming into this house, just like at Al's, but I don't have HBO.
What about a chrome-plated heart?
But the... there was some channel about local events, and is it... It's either out of Africa that's up close to Cottonwood, or the wild, the something World Zoo. I forget which one, but they have a big show that they do where it's they have a lot of big cats, lions, and so forth, and they play with them in a pool.
Oh, it's out of Africa.
It's out of Africa, up north.
Okay.
I've got to go, and I've got to take mom because
it's cool.
They have a fenced
off
area where the trainers are in there, and they have literally big, like, inflatable toys on sticks, and they play with the cats like you would play with your
like,
a small domestic
the
cat.
Out of them, I'm thinking, maybe don't.
No, but because
please refer to Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah, but this is like thinking, but like Siegfried and Roy
with a
cats
blow up doll.
Are fucking pissed, right? Because those cats they live in cages in Las Vegas.
No, they were really well cared for.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, Siegfried and Roy were really pretty good at the animal preservation.
Yeah, that's true.
My
they
had
mistake. A lot of money and a lot of plastic surgery.
And they're still, still doing it. The one that doesn't quite know what they're doing.
But this place is so, it's huge, and the cats have like tons of space, and
so
it's
you,
very cool.
So you've been there.
It's neat.
So I think mom and I are going to take a trip up north to Cottonwood. It's just outside of Cottonwood, Arizona, because I drive by it when I go to one of my clients up there. And I think that would be fun to do.
Oh, I think that'd be fantastic. And
I love big cats.
Northern.
That's wildlife.
Wildlife
World Zoo.
World Zoo.
That's
wildlife
on,
World
right.
Zoo,
yeah. Yeah, years ago. So,
very fun.
Very cool. I'd like to go do it.
And that Jersey Boys. The lead singer, you know, little Frankie Valli person. Yeah, I wasn't super.
Didn't do it for you.
No, but there were two other, especially two other parts that were in it that were just fun.
Oh, I'm like, the Frankie part doesn't sing.
No, but I mean, it worked.
You think they'd have the lead set up to sing.
Yeah, I mean, meh. But
maybe he was an. understudy.
No, that's
cast,
what we look
cast
for.
Cast B.
Oh, that's
we
what we
for.
Look yeah. for, and it wasn't.
But you're so far into the tour now that it's just people they found on the street that might look Italian.
and that's the thing.
They used to work
like
at Oregon's.
Cats come back around. Those cats are a little mangy. You know what I mean? Right. We're like 30 years into the world
me.
Tour. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't. He
midnight.
He looked more like
Spot. The kitties are sleeping.
That was a fur ball. A little hair ball.
Just clear their ears.
No.
So, but other than that, it was, yeah, it was just, it was lovely.
When I saw that on stage, I got a little weepy during the Who Loves You Pretty, Who
yeah.
Loves You Pretty yeah. Mama. I don't know. I just it reminded me of my sisters
sure.
and their clock radio because they used to sleep in their room between their beds all the time.
Okay.
And that was one of their clock radio songs I would always listen to. Well, they were, I was afraid sure. of the dark and terrified of something I just read or watched on TV.
Right.
And
right.
And you still do that, and you haven't learned.
Right, but now there's not. Now I have to, you know, figure it out by myself.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Table. But at the end, as the story
so
built up to,
so now when we hear Al, who loves you,
I get a little wiki. But when they were talking about the, oh God, no, it's the name of that song, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You.
Oh yeah,
when they
You're
got
just
to that song,
too good to be true.
And I'm sitting there, and I can't remember who I saw
love
it with, but I looked
that.
At him, I'm like. They haven't had a fucking horn in this whole show. Are you going to tell me that I have to watch some bullshit version of this show without a horn section?
Right.
And my friend was like, you're very upset about this. And I'm like,
yeah.
The song is the horns.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, and they like walk across the top of the stage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I got goosebumps just thinking about it. Because I was like, you better have a fucking horn, people.
the
and
really
they really sold it.
They did. And the fun part of that was, and I think because I didn't have, I don't know, a lot to compare it to, Aaron seen it before, this and that. And I looked up and I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. The band or the orchestra's on stage.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't comment because I thought, well, she's going to look at me like, duh, you moron. Of course they are.
Duh.
And she didn't realize until three quarters of the way through the stage
that the orchestra was on stage.
And they still have, because in New York, they're on,
yeah.
they come across the top of the stage. They're behind
they
the stage at the very top, yeah.
And they did that, but throughout.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
they,
that just gave me goosebumps. Because
oh,
I, was so,
I haven't seen it.
I was so
yeah.
worried, because I'm like, I haven't heard a fucking horn through this
right.
whole show, and
right.
now you're going to sell me this song without a horn section?
Yeah.
Because I always go through, usually I look through and see, like, what are we, with a four-piece band and a synthesizer? Do we have a real orchestra? Like, what am I working with here?
Right.
What am I going to be humming on the way out?
Yeah.
We got a kazoo and a sparkler. What are we working with, people?
Late December,
so,
back in 60.
And it's just one of those shows, like every
oh,
fucking song
it.
Works.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow, that
and
sounds so
there,
fun. I've never seen it.
And you sit there, and like I said, I was singing. Of course, it's much louder than I was. And Aaron's like, shh, shh.
Oh
you
yeah,
can.
You can't help yourself. Like there was
you
a couple,
can't.
There was a couple songs that I was like, oh, I think I'm singing, and they were like, well, so's the whole aisle. We're good.
Yeah, yeah.
And you saw like
yeah.
she said at one point
because
we got moved up to like third row, and she said at one point she turned around and like everybody. You didn't see one person not moving, and
you don't
really.
You know,
those are hard songs to not sing
yeah.
along to.
Yeah.
They
it's
really
hard,
are.
You know
they,
what they are? They're the soundtrack of your life.
Yeah.
Yes, they
from
are.
From clock radios in the early 70s.
I know. And poor Luis is trying to get clock radio translated to Spanish. I got nothing.
Luis, would you message me privately, please? We're gonna. I will help you with English.
We're so fast.
Oh.
Funny. Yeah, we do talk a little fast. Now, in comparison, I'm sure if you were to rip through a bunch of Spanish, we'd all be like, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because unfortunately, Al actually, as far as the cast of this show, he actually can translate a lot of what people have typed from French and Spanish, and sometimes English. He can get...
Yeah. Luckily, they're all based on the same thing.
Right?
Yes.
Right.
Mr. Perkins, welcome back to the Phoenix.
Well, thank you so much.
You were away for a few weeks, and this time everything here went lovely.
It did. It was very, well, last year went lovely, too, and there was no bugs to greet me, which was last year's thing.
I liked it. He sent me a text message. I was like, I was just at your house. Everything's fine. Were there any bugs? Not anything else. Were there any bugs? No, there was one on the, literally, there was something that died in mid-flight, I guess, and landed upside down on the hood of your car. And then when I moved my truck out of your garage to check on some things, there was a big on its back dead for God knows how long. Because I haven't apparently started that truck in 3 years.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, so
it was when you don't run the water, like and I forgot yeah. the last time I went away to like close all the drains and close the toilet seat, and I came home to a couple of surprises.
Oh yeah, no.
but it was a long, long, long trip. Like when it came, and I stayed an extra day in Connecticut. For
Connecticut.
For a couple of different reasons, I stayed there one extra day, And then I was really, when like that day ended the next morning and like my friends were going to work and they like didn't wake, they were supposed to wake me up with them so I could be ready and we could all leave together. But they were like, you're tired. We let you sleep. You know, we're leaving. Get up. Get your stuff. Cause, and I'm like, do you guys just not believe that I'm actually going somewhere else? Like, you think I'm just here? And they're like, no, you just needed some sleep. And I was like, oh my God, I have to drive to another fucking state. I mean, I had no reservations. I just had a rental car and a plan. But the last day.
I think you even had a plan.
You know, the last day. And I had just Googled this place in Maine and for Richards in Quebec, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is where all of Quebec takes their summer vacation. This was.
Portland?
No. It's just outside of Portland. It's called Old Orchard Beach in Maine. And it was 80% French-Canadian people visiting. The hotels were about 60% French-Canadian, like, speaking. Like, everything was English-French. And you're not near the Canadian border. I was on the coast. But it was just weird. And I was so... I had lost all track of, like, where I was, like, where the fuck I was in perspective of the entire world, that I couldn't figure out who's got the fucking hard-on for French? Like, why? Who are everything in French? I'm like, did somebody just buy a French book? And then I was like, oh, like, this is clearly where everyone from Quebec comes to take their summer holiday and take a week. And everything was, like, high efficient, like, the rooms with kitchens.
I'm just reading the chat room. So Tomo from New Zealand just said, don't worry, Luis, I can't understand half of what they're saying either. And then Luis is like, okay, Tomo, but I am sure I will be able to follow most of their talk.
Maybe.
So
continue on.
No, it was just a funny place to be. And then as I was walking to the first restaurant to go have lunch because it took a while to find a room because I didn't have a plan. I was a day late. I took pictures of no vacancy signs because it just became funny and how lit up they are. And some of them just say no. Some of them say sorry because you're conveying something to someone in another language. So they kept it really brief.
Yeah.
It was very weird. And as I'm walking down the street, I'm like, okay, that's not English. Like something's up. And then finally I had to put it together. Like, where am I? What is going on here? Why is English like definitely maybe 30 to 40% of the time people were speaking English.
So bizarre.
But I mean, the cars were all from Quebec.
What's it called again? I'm looking it up.
It's called
I want to visit
Old
there.
Old Orchard Beach. And and you got to help me with the motto is.
What's the motto with you?
Je ne
souviens. Who making a salad?
Yeah, je ne souviens. It means we will not forget or we will remember or something like that. And there's all kinds of meanings towards it, but it's on their car. And it just was like stepping. And somebody was like, how did you pick this town? A friend of my friend Kurt's called and she was like, we don't know where you are. Like, you're not in the city that they said that you were going to be in. And I'm like, no, they never believed I was coming to this little town because I've never heard of it.
Right.
Would you all jump in the chat room right quick and give your eye color to Steven? He needs our eye color. I'm not sure why, but he does.
Oh, okay. So, I can't remember what I'm talking about.
Is this anyways, the Orchard?
Yeah, Tomo Cornbell.
Is this Orchard Beach? Is this where the cute Ferris wheel and all this
stuff
was?
Right, right, right. And it really was. So this girl that I'm talking to, she's like, how did you find this town? I'm like, I just Googled it. And it was like Brigga fucking Dune. Because it just rises.
Which I still don't understand because like I've never seen it.
Brigga Dune is the little town in the mountains of Ireland that comes up once, or Scotland.
And it comes through the fog.
And you find this beautiful place.
Oh, okay.
And this town is only there. It's a summer town. They close up shop.
Oh, because you were saying that the girls in the restaurant were like saying, oh, this is our last week. Or they were doing something.
You only have like four more weeks of summer, and then the whole town shuts down like September 1st or September 5th. But like it all goes away. Like the carnival goes away, the pier goes away, everybody just shuts down, and they go to there's a town inland called Saco Saco that's maybe like a quarter mile in, but nobody stays on the beach because the winters are too harsh. And it was just.
It looks so cute.
It was so like it was the way back. It was seriously 1982 summer of French movie of my childhood with like an arcade and like everybody, all the people at the arcade. Because when I went there
at
first.
That's where you had the Ferris wheel, the picture.
Yeah, it was like 4
beautiful.
In the afternoon and I was clearly between crowds. Like the nighttime crowd wasn't there yet. The day crowd had gone to take their little naps. So it was just the workers at the arcade and me, and I'm walking through this empty.
Like, why don't you leave, sir?
No, No, why don't you play something? Because they're all ready to work, but they're holding like big stuffed animals of like, you know what I mean?
And
they're,
I love it.
But they're all talking about like their summer and everyone's dating and everyone's like, it was just, it was the most, and I was trying to describe it to Harrison through text and I just couldn't do it because I.
Some things need words.
It just seemed like they were very, like, I guess the middle class of America has disappeared completely because I had to find a Canadian middle class. Like, they were just like the people that I grew up with. Like, they were like, they look like just normal people. No one was like stupidly beautiful. No $9 million sunglasses. No one was selling shit on the beach. It was just really average people. 80-year-olds were in the water. 4-year-olds in the water. Like, seriously, old, old, old people were in the water.
It's really cute. And I found this this picture here, which is like a like overview of the town with the little dock in the middle. And it's tiny.
Yeah, it is.
It's, I mean, it is really tiny.
It disappears. And they all said that. Like, but and it was lovely. And then the last day, it was just so fucking hot that don't judge me. I went to a movie. I was sightseeing in Portland, and I was walking around, it was like so hot.
I hung out in my hotel room in London because I was just
one of my favorite things. And I told you this the other day when I saw you after you came back. One of my favorite things about that entire post in regard to that beach was that you said for a moment the change in your pocket was from your father for arcade games or something. I forget what it was it was cute.
It really was. It was just such a, like, when I was walking around that empty, it was an empty amusement park arcade with, like, all the rides ready
Richard,
to go.
Oh, because Canadians aren't normal, Al, huh?
No, but they're not, it's not, you don't find that in, you just don't find that in America anymore. Anybody that's in, hey, buddy.
Hi, ladies, and Marty.
Hi, buddy, I have something for you, and you can fuck off.
Buddy Early is in the chat room.
Yeah. But anyways, it's just like when you go to a beach town anymore, like, the people at beach towns are like, have been like at the gym for 17 years worked out, and they're worried about their beaches.
That's
they're
LA.
Worried about their tans. No, it was P-Town, and it's
Every time
you go to somewhere on a beach, like, it's all these like people pretending to be something they're not. Right? Yeah. And these were just average people
enjoying a beach,
bathing suits, and like there was not anybody sitting there like on a chair tanning. They were in the fucking water because it was hot.
Yeah.
So I'm not kidding you. There was like 80-year-olds with their grandkids, and like every single
That's
person
really
was like,
fun.
There was kite flying, and like I felt like it was 1982. Like, this kind of world doesn't exist anymore.
No, one of the questions I want to ask you,
and I keep describing it wrong because everyone's like, I don't even know what you're talking about anymore. Like, you guys have no, like, and that's why I keep
and
saying, like,
not, we've gone there.
Like, everyone just keeps saying, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, you don't even remember anymore what normal people
now. I only saw a couple postings that you said of this, but last year you spent half of your vacation with Armistead Maupin. Who wrote the stories? Tell us from the city.
Around.
Now, how many interactions or sightings of him did you have?
Did you guys hang out?
We did daily. And then if I didn't actually see him, somebody would take a picture. And because our house was right behind Spiritus Pizza, which is it's not the best pizza in P Town, but it's the pizza place where everybody goes after the bars close. So it turns into like the hangout at like 1 to 2 a.m. He had lunch there just about every day. So everybody that was coming over for their coffee adventure in the morning would take the picture of Armistead Maupin and his very attractive husband. His husband is very attractive. But he was nice. I actually talked to him once because he was doing a book
reading.
Did
he remember you from the previous sightings?
I'm not sure. And I didn't want to ask him, like, are you as terrified of me as I am of you? But so it was fun. But this time it wasn't so much about like new places and stuff like that. It was just about like being with friends, and it was kind of like falling in love with friends instead of just falling in love with little towns. Because
I'd seen all that. How are we gonna sell it?
Before we move on to headlines, or Clayton, our big champion winner Sean just tuned in. So
congratulations again to Sean on your win. We were talking about your win and the potential for a three-peat, which, by the way, you can't use that because it was actually copyrighted years ago by Pat Riley, who used to coach
the Chicago Bulls.
The Bulls. Back when they did a three-peat years ago.
Pat Riley, would that be the Lakers?
Pat Riley was the Lakers.
Was it the Lakers? The Lakers? I thought it was the Bulls.
No, I mean, the Bulls. Was,
he moved. But anyway, but Pat Riley is the one who actually copyrighted the phrase three-peat. So just let you know.
But everybody used it because the Chicago Bulls are where I heard it.
And maybe it,
from.
It got rather lax.
Coach then went to the
Lakers. No, it was Pat Riley. Miami Heat.
Okay, it was the wrong team.
Oh, I didn't realize he was ever with the Heat.
Yeah.
Because I pay so much goddamn attention.
But you knew Pat Riley. So
I know.
That's good.
Only because my mom beat my head. Like, we're watching basketball on television when I was at home.
That's good.
You will understand. No, she never did that.
And I got to tell you, until LeBron, I never heard of the Miami Heat.
I've heard of the Heat in Miami. But that's totally different.
And I've been there to experience that bullshit.
It is a quarter to the hour. We have a lot coming up. We spent 45 minutes talking about all kinds of bullshit. But at this point, I've just been busy. Work's coming up. I'm going to Atlanta. We did Dancing with the Bars. We talked about that. Welcome. We're back. It's the show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk America. I'm here with Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, and you. You're listening, and we thank you for doing so. We'll be back in just mere moments right here on Q Talk America.
You're listening to Q Talk America.
What's this? It's a 30-second dance break.
Is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
I always hate it when I hit it and miss a cue, but hello, this is the headline segment of the program. This is Q Talk America, stories that mostly are true, and we're going to try to make it through without fucking all this up. We may make it, we may not.
Don't fuck it up.
Man is arrested after he taunts police on Facebook.
Castrating hogs for minimum wage.
Man mistakenly posts himself naked in an online advertisement.
The Candy Clan can.
Oh, Sarah Palin starts an online subscription news channel.
Masturbation lightning.
Man sends his wife a spreadsheet of her sex excuses.
Tears of a true fucking clown.
And a 1926 sex manual fails a man. This and more.
I love it. May I adjust?
What do you need
right
to do?
Before headline, can we just hand some things out quickly in case Buddy runs away? But it's something for Mr. Early.
Well, how is he going to have it here?
Oh, he doesn't get any of it.
Oh, shit.
Fucker
doesn't join us anymore, so.
Well, he has a job. Well, we have all.
What?
I'm sorry. We all have jobs, but our jobs are in the daytime. Well, actually, Al's is just off today. What the fuck are you doing, Marnie?
Oh, God. I don't know what's going on with
that ship. You know the fried chicken Oreos was a fake. That was a lie.
But I think that's where the watermelon's leading.
Well, kind of.
Katie, I'm not sure what's going on. Did you just wash your hair today?
Katie.
What's going on with your hair?
I did.
Okay. Good. I'm glad you washed it.
Yep. Got a lot going on.
So I'm going to change this shot here. Let's go back to this shot. Oh, I got to take that off.
Go ahead.
God, I'm fucking stuff up right and left.
I know. We're all trying to lose. Everybody's trying to be healthier, and this cunt shows up with double stuff.
Well, she's doing a juice cleanse, and Marnie's left the studio. Do you want me to start with
Yeah, start.
Okay, well, here we go. A 1926 sex manual found in Arizona was returned to the New York City Library 54 years late after it apparently failed to save a marriage, according to a video online. The book entitled The book entitled Ideal Marriage by apparently a guy named T.H. Van Veld, M.D., was supposed to be handed back to the library way back in 1959. The man who checked it out has since died. It wasn't until an in-law was
from bad sex
sorting through his belongings in Arizona that it turned up. When it was sent back to the library, it came with a note from a, quote, shocked in-law that read, "We found this book amongst my late brother-in-law's things. Funny thing is, the book didn't support his efforts with his first and only marriage. It failed. No wonder he hid the book. So sorry for its late return." The book, however, was on a 2-week loan back in the 50s when he took checked the book out. That's so funny.
That is fantastic.
I think that's good. If you find a book, just send it back to the library. Yeah. But they showed a picture online. You can
this
Google.
This didn't work.
It shows the inside flap of the book where the card would be, and it showed like the checkout date was like 1959. I think that's kind of funny.
Oh, and my Debbie's been listening. She just
your sister
Hi.
Debbie. Hi, Deb.
She went to beach. They understand because I had people when I was telling them the beach experience. Not to go back to that, but I was telling them like actual people from
you missed
that they saw.
Candy corn. No, not candy corn Oreos.
Different.
No. Ask Buddy.
Different.
These are the shit.
All right.
Okay. Oh, this is real.
So just so here's the deal.
To warm those up?
Because the fried chicken.
Molly loves when we eat and talk.
I know, right? Because the fried chicken Oreos are not real.
Ah,
we have fried chicken. And then we have the Oreos because, you know, I got to put that shit together. The watermelon sauce? Just seemed to kind of go hand in hand
with fried chicken and Oreos.
Well, yeah. You know, so maybe it's a little
unintentional racism.
Yeah. But
coming up a little later in a crime scene footage, our critically acclaimed
exactly.
segment, this all may relate.
It all works out
this
real,
all
real fucking
may
well.
Relate. Yeah.
Now, the other pieces, I have that watermelon there because I brought watermelon vodka. And
oh
so
God.
We can make watermelon slushies.
Nothing about this. There's no racism.
You guys want to try this really delicious green supreme?
Well, it's not like you sent me a text.
Because I need to spend the rest of the show sitting here running this, not in the bathroom. Because I have a feeling that that's a...
Goes right through you.
Yeah, you endanger Molly because you're... It'll run like...
That's really like 8 portions.
Oh.
It runs through you like a Japanese bullet train.
I have 6 of these.
All right.
You realize that your insides will be outside.
Before Buddy ran away, I had to let him know that I still think of him often.
Oh, we all think of Buddy. Thank you, Buddy.
Thank you for that.
Continue on with your...
So you guys eat whatever. There's macaroni and cheese stuff there.
Oh, my God, there's macaroni. What are you... What's... You need to drink. You need water. No, this is water.
Okay?
It's the buffalo sauce. It gives me the hiccups.
Oh, I hate buffalo sauce.
Oh, it's like a creamy buffalo. I got
Molly's
you barbecue.
Molly's gonna love it.
Molly, you're a danger
want
girl.
Molly, you are a danger girl.
This stuff is fucking nominal.
Is it good?
But it gives me the hiccups.
Does it always give you hiccups? Just buffalo sauce?
Certain spices, if you get the right spice in there. Gives me the
that's
hiccups.
Real good.
And you also have an audio a tick. So if somebody sings a certain song, you have an audio epileptic thing, right?
Yep.
Or if people say Pippin.
Yeah, that's a seizure protest.
Right, exactly.
We've got
right.
magic. Ugh.
To do.
Are we moving along?
Yes, continue on. I've already done my first one.
I'm going to need a little bit of help. I know you'll know the button down there to reach for to play. But
she means
castrating hogs. You leave everything out of this below the belt.
Oh wait, are we playing that clip?
Only because this woman is too much about the minimum wage is appropriate for Iowa, and apparently castrating hogs for minimum wage is what she's looking at.
I don't know why I can't. So for some reason
that Joni Ernst.
No, I know, but I don't. I have it called castrating hogs, and for some reason it won't find it.
Well, basically, the Republic or the Democratic nominee released a new ad campaign Tuesday, highlighting this Joni Ernst opposition to increasing minimum wage. Senator Ernst claims that Iowans are best off with their state's paltry $7.25 an hour minimum. She says, unlike the 65% of her fellow Iowans that support an increase in the minimum wage, Ernst responded in the negative, explaining, I do not support a federal minimum wage. Every state has a different economy, different cost of living. I don't believe that's the role of the federal government. How very Republican of her. It has a video of her talking about the fact that the current minimum wage is completely appropriate for Iowa. She is also the one, if you guys
remember.
It's
what I think of Iowa.
I know, right?
$7.25 seems to go along with my views.
She's just ridiculous. And she knows firsthand that it can be done because that's how she grew up. She says, I grew up castrating hogs on an Iowa farm. So in Washington, I'll know how to cut the pork. Do you remember when we played that?
Yeah.
Right.
That's what it was looking for.
And unfortunately, that audio clip was lost with my technical issues.
And mercifully so.
But that was
kind of the sound.
That was one of the funniest.
I know a lot about cutting the pork.
That was one of the funniest,
stupidest things.
So I can cut the pork in Washington.
She can cut that pork in Washington. But so apparently, $7.25 an hour, she thinks that that's
perfectly acceptable.
Necessary. For Iowans to just remain.
$300 a week is perfectly manageable.
It'll be $15,000 annually.
Yep.
For a 40-hour week job. Just
sure.
ridiculous.
Oh, right.
She's a cunt. You can take a nice vacation. Yeah.
You know, the
down to the KFC. Kids, we're going on vacation.
Crime.
They're boneless for you, you know.
Crime is often committed by, thank you for that.
You're
I
welcome.
Do enjoy a boneless.
He might never know. Because I ate them.
Not all of them.
No, but I'd put them out of my reach fast.
And I only got 10 so that she
I'm living on nuts, people. I'm living on nuts.
I will put those fucking Oreos in this barbecue sauce. Mark my word.
criminals, don't you dare me.
Criminals aren't the smartest people, you know. A man trying to outsmart cops in Maryland actually helped lead law enforcement right to him. It all started with the police department's Facebook page. Because, you know, social media outreaches to everybody. Well, the county police, T.J. Smith, says, we figured we'd profile a couple of our wanted people that we haven't been able to track down on our Facebook page. It's called Wanted Wednesday. You know, some people have Throwback Thursday.
How clever.
Yeah, so they call it Wanted Wednesday. They post a new online initiative by, it's called Anne Arundel County, up there in Maryland. We figured we'd use our social media community, help us identify them, and then some people might see themselves and or see somebody they know and turn themselves in. Well, what the department didn't expect was what happened this past Wednesday when Roger Ireland saw his face pop up on the screen. Instead of keeping silent, well, he decided, well, I'm just going to chime in to the comments. Well, that probably...
I'm a communist.
Not the smartest thing to do. He commented on his own picture. Probably wasn't the smartest idea for him to do. I would have done anything like this, said the county resident. He posted his posted taunted police, proclaiming that they could not ever catch him.
That's awesome.
At least one person made the connection, posting, wait, what? Isn't that him right above my comment? Well, we sent it over to some investigators, and their intelligence department said, hey, you guys, try to track him down. Well, guess what? They ran a license and figured out what car he drives.
Oh, my gosh.
Then police were able to locate Ireland right after conducting a traffic stop on the vehicle he was riding in just 24 hours after. I wouldn't call it the best practice if you're trying to elude the police, but we're really glad that he did it. Anybody else that's trying to elude us, we hope that you comment on our Facebook page and let us know exactly where you are at all times.
Yes.
I mean, it's my longitude and latitude. Favorite, just be more helpful.
And by the way, if you're posting
it, you'll never find me.
If you're posting it, the funny thing is, if you're posting and if you don't have your settings correct on your phone,
yeah,
it also tells them exactly where you are.
Yes.
So if you're home and you do this posting, it tells you exactly where you are.
That is awesome. And we've learned nothing from the TV shows of the last 2 years is that you have to destroy that fucking phone. Like, everybody on TV shows, they just have unlimited resources to buy telephones because every episode of every show, they throw their phone out the window, step on it, break it, and the next episode, they have a whole new phone with all their contacts intact. I don't know how they do it.
They have to back those up.
Aside from, on my favorite show, The Following, aside from emptying the colostomy bags from all the horrific stomach wounds they've suffered, they also have to spend half their day in the line at Apple Store buying a new fucking cell phone for the one they just threw out the window the night before in a snowstorm.
It's a long life.
Drives me batshit.
Do you have a quick one?
I do. It has to do with masturbation.
Well,
there's nothing more disgusting.
That'd be quick.
There's nothing more disgusting than the thought of a teenage girl touching herself.
Oh,
God,
I saw this.
Well, nature agrees to. Jennifer Conley of Hoagland, Nebraska, was struck by lightning this past Tuesday while masturbating outside behind a tree.
You'll go blind or you'll be struck by lightning.
We don't let our kids masturbate right in the home for this very reason, so I guess she had to sneak outside to embarrass herself. According to the medical experts, the moisture between her genitals and her fingertips served as a conductor and caused a lot of damage to nerve endings. And there's a good chance she will not regain feeling in either. She's lucky. She is lucky to have only been using two fingers at the time. It could have been much worse. The pediatric nurse responded.
The pediatric nurse.
Right now, I think she's just embarrassed that she could have had, or that she had to learn the lesson the hard way. It's the most deadly sin.
That's not the hard way, honey. Those are your fingers.
Children need to be protected from the temptation. Yes, Stop Masturbation Now is a fake website. That is true. So that is a fake story. But what is worse, as I pass this around, would be the Papoose Cross and Arm Immobilizer that worked together to safely secure a self-raping child.
Oh, yeah.
Is what they call
it. The anti-masturbation cross. Crucify your child so they won't touch themselves and accidentally be hit by lightning.
This is almost as bad as that inner office masturbation tent.
What? Straitjacket. Come on, this isn't
how happy
real, Marn.
Does she look?
Why do they let people make this?
No, this isn't
she's
real.
Only going to be happy till she finds out all her other friends have had orgasms. And she's been staring at my pretty pony.
This, the person who set this website up.
I'm surprised that didn't spell STRAIGHT.
XChristian.net says that this is a case of Poe's Law, definitely fake. I wouldn't have put it in the humor section if it were real. Here you go. Some of them are indeed as crazy as this, but if you go to the site I linked to, it's more obvious that it's parody. That said, I've seen the image around a bit with very real comments requesting for a link to purchase these items.
Oh,
the anti-masturbation cross.
So, the site itself is parody. The crazy it's making fun of is bad. and the thing is, the crazy it's making fun of is very real and sadly not exaggerated.
Oh, yeah.
No, not at all.
I just hope that when the little girl like got hit by lightning is when she came. Like,
right. Woo! Oh, that's what it's all about.
Keep their hands off
and I know I'll never love this way again.
For the rest of her life, every man that fucks her has to compete with lightning.
Son of a bitch. Jesus Christ, and I mean it.
Trust me, I didn't come yet. Trust me.
Yeah, you'll know.
Can we get solar panels?
Just be careful of your dangerous sin zones, I think is really what it's all about.
I'm careful of mine.
I think that double stuffed Oreo bag's going to be a sin zone in a minute.
It is the end of hour one. That means
your eyes. Molly, you in danger, girl.
The beginning of hour two coming up right after this. We have more headlines. Oh, Al's going to give us our drinking word. Oh, and after headlines, don't forget, it's our Studio C players reenacting 911 calls. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh my God, good evening everybody. It is a little past 8 o'clock in Phoenix, Arizona. I am Clayton McKee sitting alongside... Well, don't wave yet, I haven't got this shot changer.
Oh.
Now you can wave at your perspective camera. I'm sitting alongside Marnie Ryer, Katie June, Al Perkins. We round out the cast of Q Talk America's The Show with Clayton McKee. That is me. We are here every Tuesday night, except the nights we're not.
Well, there's that.
Once again, we are not here next Tuesday night. That is the 5th of August. But we will return immediately the next week and continue on as long as we can.
As long as we can.
We love it. The outpouring of so many, we've had so many emails and people messaging us wanting to know where we are, how they missed the show. Somebody even messaged us last week listening to a rerun and thought we were topical and was emailing us responses to questions we were asking during the show.
Oh, man.
But hey, that shows the quality of our pre-recorded
the
shows.
Timelessness of the end of the day.
We are timeless.
Fried chicken Oreos, I'm telling you.
If nothing else, we are timeless. However, it is the beginning of hour two, and what does that mean? What does that mean? It means it's time for our drinking disclaimer so that we can legally continue on with this and not be reprimanded by anything. So let's do the drinking disclaimer, and Al Perkins read it now.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, I'm this drinking word has so many different things going on at the same time.
Okay.
Back in the 80s, there was a parade that I was sitting outside of and staring at, I'm going to say a Cosmopolitan magazine, or maybe it was a Vogue, and the cover had Cher on it, and when you opened up to the story of Cher, it had a quote that said, "She has the most delightfully pointed head I've ever seen," exclaimed Diana Freeland upon first sighting Cher. And I was drunk enough that has stuck with me since like 1985, 86.
Have you Googled that line to see if it comes up at all?
It does. Diana Freeland really did tell her to take advantage of the fact that she has the most delightfully pointed head she'd ever seen. And she exclaimed it. So the funny thing was, is we carried that stupid magazine around like a Bible, my friends Jim and Greg and I.
Of course you did.
Because it had Cher on the front of it, but then it said Trey Cher, which was like very Cher or very expensive in French. So then we're sitting there drinking with our magazine in front of us, and a parade went by that we were not participating in. So what? We started yelling out, like, Trey Cher, like the Cardinal of Buffalo was in the parade, and like, so that's what we did in P-Town. We sit at the end of the night and we sit on the steps of the pizza place and we do a I call it a Trey Cher parade. And you're only allowed to say
it's awesome.
You're only allowed to say positive things about people. So as like all of humanity passes, you can only do it in a few places because you have to have a seat like by a parade route, and then you just have to have like people walk by and you just comment on like nice thing, people, fun shoes, great outfit, but nothing negative. Yeah. And we had a bipolar fuck mess with us that kept trying to bring us down, and we're like, nothing, you don't say anything negative.
Not today, that. Satan. Not today. Today.
So that's our drinking word is Trey Cher.
Oh, Trey Cher with the golf.
So it either means very Cher, the gay icon, or very dear, or very expensive.
Or Cher the singer. Right. Gay icon or singer. Is it TRES with the little line?
Trey Cher.
That's our drinking word, Trey Cher.
And it made me laugh because it came up today. Something came up about Diana Vreeland, and I'm like, you know, I have to find out if that actually was a real quote. And so I quoted Diana Vreeland Cher, and it came up that she told her, you know, the colorfulness of the phrase of the most delightfully pointed head I'd ever seen.
The most delightful.
Exclaimed Diana Vreeland upon first sighting Cher. I have that quote so down. Great.
Yes, you do. That is funny.
That's what you do with a memory like this.
So Trey Cher is our drinking word. If you have a beverage, which we encourage you to do, enjoy.
Thank you.
Enjoy with us. I'm drinking Crown and Water. And Al, you've not made mention. Have you mentioned the wine?
Oh, I'm so sorry. This is my absolute favorite.
It is delicious.
This week.
From the Hearst Vineyards, Hearst Ranch Winery. It's their Malbec. It's a 2010 from Paso Robles, but we get it up at Cambria. This is the cream of the fucking crop of the Central Coast.
Gotcha.
The white, the Rincon was really good, but this is the red. This is the Grand Dame of the whole line.
The Grand Dame. Mm-hmm.
Trey Cher, I said upon first seeing it. Yeah,
it's from home renovations to a
college. The hell happened?
But it really is delicious. So if you can go to your local winery and see if they're pushing the Hearst Castle shit and get a bottle of this Malbec.
We could not get up there to get you that, but we have another lovely bottle for you. I didn't bring it because I figured that Aaron would want to be with me when we gave
fun.
It to you. So.
Well, that's good.
Anyway. Lovely. Well, let's continue on with our headlines. We are drinking word Trey Cher anytime somebody uses that.
Oh, good night, Steven.
Or even references.
Good night.
Oh, Steven's gone. Bye. I'm still waiting for Louise. I'm still waiting for Louise to send me a link. That's what I'm waiting for. Well, a Texas man hoping to sell his home made a very big mistake while posting an image of his home online. Well, apparently, you know, if you live alone, there's a thing called naked time where you can walk freely at home. Nobody cares.
Yeah, most of the time.
In fact, that's one of the things that. Except when people come to your door, Katie. Yes. No, but I remember. I still go back to when a former roommate that I had moved out of his house. I remember that Buddy Early posted. I think it was on MySpace back in the day, and it was like, "Well, enjoy all the naked time." So you run through the house taking pictures, whatever. Well, apparently, a Texas man. His home is in Austin. Has a 5 bedrooms, cost of $389,000. When it came time for showing one of the 4 bathrooms, the home buyers really got an unsettling surprise online from the pictures that the man had posted. The seller didn't realize it while taking photos.
He was in the mirrors.
In the home, he was seen standing in the middle of a mirror without any clothes on. Apparently, he didn't even notice his own reflection before uploading the photos. At least you can't see that poor man's face in the photo, but you can see everything else. The photo has made the rounds on the internet before it was removed from the original site it was posted on, but you can rest assured because it was online, somebody saved it, and it will forever live on Facebook.
And not naked, that's but awesome. Everybody's made that mistake, not with the nudity, but everybody's made that mistake where you don't realize that you're in the mirror of a picture or you're in the reflection of a glass. And it's always crazy. And there's a picture I posted from that restaurant, Hanny's downtown, that has the thing that's right out of Hannibal.
Oh,
the
kind
I saw that you posted
kind
that.
Of Indian jeweled, horned woman.
It's crazy.
That looks Indian like she's jeweled. Been murdered.
Baby faces.
It looks like she's being made up in like a Bollywood kind of.
But it's got those little plastic baby faces all over.
No, that's downstairs. The baby faces are downstairs. Oh, yeah. This is the center.
You've got the cutest little baby
face. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Face.
I'm thinking of the baby faces.
And it's a mannequin.
The baby faces has haunted me.
Oh, yeah, then that does. Yeah. But then it wasn't until I'd seen the picture like 40 times that I realized that Kevin is in the reflection of the picture. Which makes it even creepier.
Yeah, totally.
I just saw that
posted. Yeah.
So I mean,
I would have to look closer.
I really had to look at it quite a few times.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Marty, continue on.
The candy clan can.
One eye.
Sprinkles it with love and makes the world taste good.
Well, apparently in Seneca, South Carolina, the KKK is recruiting new members.
That's the candy.
With candy. Adam, with
girl.
Candy. Residents in
better
one community,
those numbers up.
They say that they woke up to find bags of candy and messages from the Klan. Peppermints and Smarties, they were.
Well, that's at least it was using. White people candy.
Mm. Well, duh. They were dropped in
it
the
was
driveways.
White people candy.
As the person opened it up, one of the residents, they realized just what it was. They read the flyer and read it off. It said, "Save our land and join the Klan." Come on, with some Smarties and peppermint candy.
Smarties.
Anyway, oddly, in this neighborhood, there are mixed racial marriages, some minorities. She said her neighbors were even ashamed that when she thought that what she thought was a thing of the past still exists. You know, the Robert Jones, the imperial, what is it?
Grand Poobah?
No, well, that's
imperial
what I always
wizard.
Call it. But I've never seen
it's
this
imperial wizard. Wizardry.
It's called a...
Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
no.
No, I got you, Dave.
Buddy, I had water. No, I looked for watermelon
chicken.
Ones.
Well, clear out your space.
Oh,
here's
well,
your
damn it all to hell.
Well,
you
I've
have
just never
Oreos.
Been more happy.
Son of a bitch.
I was going to get watermelon,
just,
but they didn't have them.
Kill it now.
It cost $150. I have to do it.
What does?
This ew. Goddamn juice fast.
Here, let's wish
with
that.
All of these delights in front of
well,
me.
Have,
you need to know better people. I know, she's got her own bar station. Put
I
it over
like
by the cunt mugs.
Going.
Katie, would you grab that
yes,
set of
sir.
Headphones?
Well, this
right
just
there?
Makes
this
me
this first one here?
The gray one, yes, those. Hand those
well,
across.
We have a new visitor and an old first-time listener, long-time caller.
Oh, well.
Hang on, I've got to change the shot right quick so
happy.
People can
this
see him.
Just, I can't
and
he's not going to cut into my time, is he? Before he cozies up.
Before, for those of you who have been long-time listeners since the beginning, almost over 2 years ago, we originally started the show with Marnie, Buddy, Al, and myself. And Buddy Early had to take some time off because he has a what's called a job. No, the other headphones.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't think those are even on.
Those are muffs.
Yeah. We'll swap the headphones. Now, can you hear? Yeah, are you hearing or no?
Not through the headphones.
Oh, wait. There's that. What number? Hang
should
on.
We say something to see if it helps?
Hang on.
Oh, no, are you guys hearing? Oh,
there
I
am.
Well,
now.
I came
welcome.
Bearing gifts. I see that we have Oreos, but.
Yeah,
oh, man.
I couldn't find the fried chicken Oreos. You think I've never done this? I'm like,
they don't.
Well, you know. But I did find the limeade.
Oh, nice.
Those are filthy fuckers.
I had not
oh, have
seen those.
Them? Oh, I figured they would probably. Tastes like syphilis or
damn
something.
It. How
did bring peanut butter cup?
Oh, those are
played.
Fantastic.
Bitch.
I've never tried those. Like she's ready to
I didn't realize. Poor Katie, she's on a juice cleanse. She's fucked
oh,
this
oh,
week.
Honey, there's not a juice cleanse
maybe
in the world that can't enjoy one peanut
Kentucky
butter.
Fried
really,
chicken.
I feel so good on my juice cleanse. I'm going to just be
what if you
super...
die on the way home and never know what a peanut butter Oreo tastes like?
I'm going to be really course, sad about it.
Yeah.
If she dies on the way home, you have to be back next 2 weeks, buddy.
I get her salary.
Priorities.
Yes.
Priorities.
She makes just as much as you did here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, evil fuck.
So, by the way, buddy, I don't know if you knew this. So there you are, buddy. You can see you are. We're oh. all live. So there's a camera shot with Buddy in it as
very
well.
Cool.
They can hear you. They can see
oh,
you.
Oh, how fun!
So here we are, back all together here in
finger
the old
licking Oreos.
Thank you, buddy, for stopping
oh my
by.
God.
What do you need?
Have you guys ever noticed the death?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah,
we've talked
yeah,
about
we're
going to
talk about
my
it.
My name is on there.
Yeah,
okay.
We
okay.
talk
yeah.
about
you're
it every couple
there.
Weeks. We bring it up.
Okay. Every couple of weeks, Al goes, now, how did that get on there? How did I miss
how
that?
Did Buddy
and then
Early
we go
get
back.
On there. We didn't have James Garner, though. We missed that.
Am I going
to. I did. Yes, we did. And
die.
We took him off.
You're going to die.
No,
from these
I would
Oreos.
Never put anything that had lime in my mouth, so I've never tasted them.
Don't play tell me they're awful, even though I know they probably are.
Well, you went
are.
Right to syphilis.
Are you trying to say?
I went to gonorrhea because of the green.
Are you telling me you've never had a Mexican in your mouth? They've had limes.
Whoa.
They have, but
that's
not recently.
True.
I like to keep a two-day window between lime and me.
And scurvy.
I'm going to be the guinea pig.
Either that or you got to pull out.
Yeah,
go
I mean, it looks fun.
It.
Looks
oh,
very festive.
They're green and everything.
You may think it's funny, but it's really green and
you
runny.
You eat
diarrhea.
Oreos funny.
What do you think, buddy?
They're not horrible, but they're...
sell
but there's
it.
No, there's no point
it.
To that, right?
If you had some lime sherbet, maybe.
Ooh, I like lime sherbet.
Oh.
Maybe.
Sherbet?
Sherbet.
I think we may have just had a we may have just had a cast change in the upcoming critically acclaimed segment of crime scene footage that we're going to be doing.
Well, I think Buddy Early is much more trained to be a man than I am.
No, no. I think Buddy's going to be one of the sheriff's dispatchers.
Oh, all right.
You're still going to be man.
God damn it.
Okay, just saying.
I got to review that penis thing again.
I don't know where I lost you. I had to do some things. And
Al is bogarting the peanut butter.
Bogarting.
Fuck yeah. I'm trying to save Katie.
That's true. Keep him far, far away.
I don't have anything but mac and cheese. Do I need something? God, I'm going to have to make a cocktail, too. I'm not
We don't want you to have anything besides mac and cheese.
God, good. Okay. Wow. This show just went up by points and measures. Who's Kevin? Kevin messaged me on Facebook. Oh, never mind. Got it. There's a...
Fucking A.
I'm talking to Kelly on text because she's the only person that knows what I'm going through.
Oh, yeah.
I'm over here miming to Marnie because I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk over somebody.
Don't worry, I'm here.
We don't do crosstalk. Yeah. Do you still do that?
Oh, yeah.
It's called the entire fucking show.
Are you finished? Yeah. May I speak?
Just
we don't do that.
Yeah, that's something we
may
do.
May I just?
Are you done with the?
The last thing because
continue
on. The funniest part of the Candy Clan can is that they say it's the Imperial C-A-L-A-L-I-F-F.
Okay.
Wait, what is it?
Like Clayliff? Queef.
Cliff Clavin?
Cunt.
Cliff Clavin?
He's the Imperial cunt.
Clavin Bundy?
Anyway, yes.
They're all synonyms.
He says, I mean, can't tell who lives in the house that we're throwing the candy to. The candy that says, save our land and join the clan. Sending
Smarties
candy out.
And
it's all about branding.
Need a hashtag.
He says, we can't tell whether they're black,
hashtag
white,
clan.
Mexican, gay. We can't tell that.
Taste the rainbow.
not at the clan. That's all vanilla, girls.
No, that's all vanilla. He says, he wants to be clear. They are not a hate group. They are a civil rights organization.
Conflicted on circumcision.
Is that right?
Well, yeah, because it's really a Jewish tradition, but it's also an American tradition. So,
what to do with
the penis is the whole Klan 101 rally.
I mean, they just sit around and suck each other off.
Likely. I gotta tell you.
Can we say that?
Of course. We're still not regulated.
I honest to God try to avoid hate groups, but if they were putting peanut butter Oreos on my door, I might read through the memo.
Where is the watchtower?
I'm not saying I go to a meeting. I'm just saying.
Where is this
you
alleged
can
watchtower?
It.
Yeah. You
can
enjoy the cookies.
Don't judge me.
I mean, for real. No.
Don't you judge me.
No. Continue.
I'd be like, Trey Share, clan. Trey Share on the cookie choice.
That's our drinking word. Trey Share.
Trey Share.
Trey Share.
Clap it out.
Very Share.
Enjoy the
By
cookies.
The way, buddy, if you need to, reach for any bell within your reach if you need to use it. Marnie's is probably closest.
Okay. Yeah, but Marnie's got a finger on her bell.
Leave my bell out of this. It's lightning.
It's got lightning.
Well, I'm sure.
Thank God she only used two fingers.
Well, now that Buddy is here, I'm sure this story will be more relevant than ever. Our dear friend, Sarah Palin, you know, she's cutting through the media filters to bring you her own internet channel now.
Uh-huh.
Expectedly, the news was met with plenty of jokes on Twitter. And this is one of the tweets. Together, we'll cut through the sound bites and cut through the media's politically correct filter and things like Washington, D.C.'s crony capitalism, the former vice presidential nominee said in a video posted to Facebook on Sunday. We'll go around all that. Well, one piece tweeted, to Sarah Palin, media filter means facts, dear.
She missed that memo.
Yeah. Another said, I'm so excited for the Sarah Palin internet channel. No one with a life ever said. Late shows are going to be completely thankful for this. And one even tweeted the big Benghazi theory, hashtag Palin TV show. Every late night show and their staff will be thankful to Miss Palin the morning after.
Yeah.
Tweedos also pointed out that the cost of the subscription to Palin's internet channel is $9.95 a month.
Oh, no, that's more than minimum wage.
That's more than... That's true. That's true.
Joni Ernst, she's not going to be
gotta pay
that.
It.
She's
also
not castrating hogs.
It's also more than a Netflix subscription.
Yeah, that's an hour and 20... Oh, my God, and you are not...
This?
I am sorry, Sarah Cunt Palin. You are not giving me what Netflix gives me.
It's up. It's live and ready for members.
Now, one of the tweets that went out said, a subscription to Netflix, an infinite bank of TV and film... costs less per month than one to Sarah Palin's new septic tank of a channel. Oh,
but goodness.
You have to Google. It's a speech in Colorado where they're accusing her of being either drunk or somehow altered. And I have never been able to make it through a whole 8-minute Sarah Palin speech.
Sure, right.
Sure. It's a delight.
Oh, I can't wait. Because,
Oh, yeah. It's the forgotten.
There's a Bristol blog on
the,
here, too.
It's the Forgotten America. It's the Forgotten America speech. And everybody that's forgotten.
God.
And she gets to Benghazi about 4 minutes in, and you're just kind of you're giggling so hard at like whatever the hell is wrong with her.
Well, that's what they're calling her new show is the Big Benghazi Theory.
Yeah, but
instead of the Big Bang Theory,
the absolute best thing of all is when she says, "God can't drive a parked car."
Neither can I.
And what? Is that part of the Jesus takes the wheel metaphor that Jesus can't get it out of park or? I got to put it in reverse for Jesus, but it just
that
lands like
Himalaya
a turd.
Thing.
I mean, it lands like a turd on the crowd because they're all cheering. And then she's like, "God can't drive a parked car."
Could somebody give me another cocktail?
Oh my God!
Now, in relation to this story, Palin says that the project is a quote news channel that's really a lot more than news, according to the video
like
posted
fiction,
on Facebook.
Made up shit.
Just horse
she
shit.
Said that you should expect to see behind the scenes footage from events and some fun stuff that goes on in a Palin household.
Oh, I love it when she has fun stuff.
I want to watch Todd chase a maid around the fucking house.
The male maid
to get laid by something that's warm. Todd.
Well, here's a sample. She's making moose meat for dinner one video.
Only using 2 fingers.
18 video.
And no lightning.
I have never seen one
in another video
more action out of a moose than this comes.
In another video, she's going to take a stand for Christmas.
I know.
So
she's back on that.
Don't miss
We're almost
that
ready for
riveting,
the war on Christmas season.
I'm that riveting
usually a little
footage.
Behind, but I'm ready for the war. I've been stocking up.
I know. I'm ready. And I say it every year because I love to stand outside of Fox News' studio.
Oh, I love it.
Halfway up Santa's ass and just laugh about the war on Christmas. I can't see you over the little drummer boy, the giant Christmas balls.
Pa-rum-pa-pum fucking pum.
And the tree that's bigger than my house 4 times on top of each other. But Christmas must be dead.
Oh my God.
These are evil.
That's right, Meow Cal. She's
a
catastrophe.
She's
a
catastrophe.
Now, I'm not sure, Luis, do they have a war on Christmas where you're at?
I'm trying to find out.
Where is Luis?
Brazil.
He's in Brazil.
Oh,
Sao Paulo.
He sounds nice.
He does.
Hey, Luis, have you
back
noticed?
Back off, bitch. I've been single longer than you. Maybe.
Well.
14 years.
We're about even. We're about even.
Well.
Got it.
Well, I'm so glad there's a blue ribbon winner in the room.
And the sad thing is, I've heard from both of my exes in the past 2 days, and I'm not sure what the fuck is going on with that.
Oh,
I don't talk to anyone. I don't talk. I'm not one of those who talks.
One referenced something about Wham going on tour, and the other one was about an old Cadillac.
Oh.
I mean, two valid points.
And two definite reasons to get in touch with me. I always love in Torch Song Trilogy, with the best thing I could ever say about him was when he left. He was gone. Like he's talking about an ex-lover. Forget it.
Well, no, I understood that.
We've been away for too long.
No, I'm saying
it's the best thing we could ever say about an ex is when he was gone. He was gone.
They're still there. They're hanging
I'll out. Pretend you're dead.
Well, yes,
not you. It was my traumatic reading.
Your traumatic. Trey Share.
Thanks.
I need to make a beverage. You gonna tell a story?
I am.
Got it.
If you can hear Tears of a Clown.
Yeah.
In your head.
That was the Wham song, wasn't it?
No, I'm
thinking
so.
Here Come
so.
The
no,
Clowns.
No, no, no.
Tears of a Clown.
When
right?
There's no one around.
We don't have money for these royalties,
right.
You guys.
No, I don't
anyway,
know.
So
Smokey
Tears
Robinson
of a Real
and the Miracles,
clown?
One of the greatest songs ever written.
That Michelle Bachman is a cunt. She is back. She is back. Worse than ever. And
how is that possible?
She's calling immigrant children invaders and comparing them to rapists.
Oh, my.
There was something. There's been a lot going on with Bachman recently, and I don't know. Something was a joke. I don't know if that's the one, though. Because there were a few things. I think the one where it says she should be in Bachman allegedly said they should be in internment camps. That one was a joke.
Oh, that is not on here.
Okay,
and I did not hear that one.
Yeah, but that turned out to be like
it does sound really reasonable
like
for her
I saw the headline.
So I want to hear more from this catastrophe. Tell me that opening sentence again.
Meowka, I think catastrophe was almost trademarked like last year. So Michelle Bachman.
Uh-huh.
derailed a discussion on Tuesday about the thousands of undocumented immigrants arriving in the U.S. from Central America by calling them invaders and linking them.
Yeah, she did. You say licking them?
Yeah, I said licking. She licked every one of them.
But that was wrong.
That's not how that works. That's not how that works.
Foreign nationals have come into the United States, and they are, my heart is broken for a female college student in Minnesota who was raped, murdered, and mutilated by a foreign national. And we had a school bus full of kids in Minnesota. Four children were killed on that school bus because of an illegal alien driving a van that went into the school bus. Unlike any other time that these odd things happen.
Any person could drive a van into a school bus.
Anyway, she says, my tears are crying. Tears?
I almost wore milk. Molly, you in danger, girl.
What was that?
That was my new favorite.
My tears are crying?
My tears are crying.
Mine are too.
Tears of a real fucking clown.
They're the tears of a clown.
My tears.
They're tears in heaven.
There are tears in heaven. Who lost the four little children. But it's my tears are crying. This is too much for me. We have foreign nationals who are coming across the border from countries like Yemen, Iran, and Iraq.
Jesus Christ.
You know what? Because of that new bridge, they walk right up to nowhere. They walk doily over the bridge.
Oh my God! Doily. I'm so enjoying the three of you.
I am too, because the video feed shows all of us doing doily walking. It's so much fun.
We're teaching people in other countries new words.
She is a lovely cunfuck, but
lovely cunfuck. She's a catastrophe.
She is a catastrophe. The other issue is the gays want to freely prey on little children sexually. Is her new deal and
naturally
she may be running for president in 2016.
I wait for that train to reach the station. But no, when she was saying that the gays are going to molest little children, was she whispering in her husband's ear?
Right.
No, honey.
Don't reopen
the goddamn place.
Is this something you guys are into, babe?
How do you? Could you dance for me, please?
I know you never touch me.
Who do you touch?
Who is it exactly?
I long for your caress, but I know you're targeting these immigrant children.
Yeah, totally. Because I licked every one of them.
I said that was from Yemen.
I've had that taste in my mouth before.
That's Yemen.
I appreciate that. That just reminded me.
I didn't get any of the lime. Can I get a lime Oreo?
You most certainly can.
I would like one or two.
You know what? Why not have them all?
Why did you open it like that?
Because he doesn't know how to eat fucking Oreos.
That's what this is for. It says lift.
That's new to me.
He was in such a goddamn hurry to
get off my lawn. I don't need these newfangled ways to open Oreos. It's not, no.
I'm going to stack these on my other Oreos and wait.
Apparently she can't keep things. It's just too much too soon. In February, she
said too little, too late to ever try again.
Licking immigrants is
She said that she didn't think the country was ready for a woman president. Guess she changed her mind. Or maybe she just doesn't remember saying that. Or maybe she's just a cunt.
No. Yep. Well, we're...
Just for her. Yeah. Just her. She's going to be good at it. No other woman. Because she hates feminism also. So she hates women, but just not herself as president.
Because she does have some very important things on her mind. Mm-hmm. That's why she might be forgetting. Like
immigrant children.
She's a
cock-juggling thunder cunt.
Well played.
Oh, that was a good one.
Trey Share, Richard. I'll give you a full-on Trey Share.
Yes. Like her delusion that we're trying to make it legal to rape children in the U.S. and impose their deviancy on the entire country.
Wait, we're going
to
make it illegal? Because it's not illegal now.
Just for gay people.
No, to make it legal.
For gay people to rape kids.
They were trying to make it illegal.
No.
I think we already got that one on the books.
It's a Christian radio show I think we should listen to called Faith and Fuck Off. I mean, Liberty. Liberty.
Somebody fuck my husband and find out if he can.
I know. Can he get it up? That's her new show. She's right next to Sarah Palin with that one.
She is so ready for her marriage to be annulled.
Did you know? Are you guys involved in this? I'm going to make it you guys. I'm taking steps to abolish the age of consent laws, which means that we'll do away with the statutory rape laws so that adults will be able to freely prey on little children sexually. Are you all about that?
All right, that's an unfair question. I know you mean it sarcastically, but there.
I know where you're at, but I'm saying.
Those Romeo and Juliet
one,
laws are pretty shitty.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's what she's referring to.
I know
dear.
She's not, but she's taking a real argument and being a cunt about it.
Yeah. Well,
it's not for me to have sex with a 15-year-old. It's for a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Sure.
That are 3 months apart to have sex.
Well, think about the gal and the two ladies in Florida.
Oh, yeah, the two girls.
Exactly. The two girls in Florida, where one was 19.
18 and 16.
16, something like that. Yeah. They're still in high school.
And that's one of those things. Right. We are taking a real issue that needs to be
and
addressed.
Blowing it all the way
and
up.
Just being a cunt about mm-hmm. it and making it sound like
yeah.
I'm coming to your third grade class. Sure. Like, that's
absolutely.
Fucking
right. Then that's exactly yeah. what she's saying.
Just because Marcus hangs out there doesn't mean that I do.
Well, once he closed down
Homo Nomo camp.
It all just went straight.
My sense of humor goes right out the window at that kind.
I know it. I know.
It really
is horrible. She really is horrible. Of course, she's pissed off about that.
And I've just learned about stoning thanks to a new show on HBO, so I'm all for it.
What?
No. Not being stoned. It's totally. He understands
that. Stoning.
It's different.
Oh, stoning. Oh,
stoning others.
It's a little bit different.
Well, in our final headline story of the night, and some of you may have already heard about this, but I thought it was worth touching on here because other people in other countries may not have heard about this. Everybody knows that the key to improving intimacy and lovemaking is creating a spreadsheet in Excel mm-hmm. to document all the times that you felt rejected and then
by Marcus Bachman.
And then emailing that spreadsheet to your partner on her way to work, right? Is that right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, for some reason, one unnamed man presumably thought it would be a great idea to do just that, so he set up a 3-column spreadsheet of all the times he initiated sex with his wife over the course of the past 6 weeks. In column A, he recorded the date. June 3rd through July 16th, 2014.
Yeah, he tried that many times.
Wow. In column B, he included the response, which was a yes or no, which is you got a 50-50 chance, really. And in column C, he wrote down the excuse his wife used.
Hi, Tyler.
Against having sex.
Tyler!
Hi, Tyler from Tennessee.
Guess who we have in here?
Buddy Early is in studio.
Tyler, I missed Tyler.
So column C, he wrote down the excuse his wife used for not having sex on that particular night. Well, now someone claiming to be the wife took the spreadsheet and put it online. Now, it has since been taken down. However, you realize, again, it's been online. It will live forever. So let's run down the spreadsheet.
What's it has to do with that cloud shit that I don't know anything about? No,
everything's
right?
in the cloud.
Right, yeah.
So. And coming next week, everything in this fucking house will be in the cloud. Trust me. I'm going through a huge... It costs a lot to get data back off a 2-terabyte drive. Let me tell you. So let's see.
Everything I know exists in the cloud.
Yeah.
Zoom type.
So we'll just go through a few of these. How about this? Like on the 6th, on the 6th of July, excuse me, 6th of June, my bad, 6th of June, sex, yes or no? No. Excuse was I'm watching a show. It was a Friends rerun.
you'll never see that again.
Now the next night, still a no. The excuse, I'm sweaty and gross. I need to shower. Now in parentheses, it says, didn't shower until next morning. Now, on the 10th, he got it. He got some. So he got a big yes on that. No excuse. We're good. So let's go to the 11th.
How did it smell, though?
The 11th was clean. The 11th was a no, but the excuse, I think this is a valid one. You got to give her this one. I'm still tender from yesterday.
Well, it's not really for her to say.
That's a trait share. I'm going to compliment your cock. Yeah. She's
getting all uppity and wanting to control her own body. Okay. And,
you never reach the bottom, but you beat the hell out of the side.
Am I hurting you? No, dear, you're annoying me. Your cock is the size of a golf pencil.
Is it in yet? I don't know. Anyway, so let's go.
Are you still here?
Let's go up to the 13th. No was the answer when he asked for it. I'm trying to watch a movie, and then she fell asleep 15 minutes later.
Good night.
So maybe they did have sex.
Yeah.
Maybe.
6:18 on the 18th. No, and the excuse was I won't have time to get showered and get ready for dinner. And then they arrived at dinner 20 minutes early. So he's saying that they would have had time.
Plenty of time.
I love that he like parenthetically gives like the follow up to these things.
On the 29th, he's got a no again. Oh no, excuse me. On the 27th, got a yes.
Yes.
Got a yes. Yeah.
Yes.
On the 29th, he got a no. Oh, yeah. You're too drunk.
And I love it. It's the fucker that's too drunk, not the fucky. Yeah. Not the gentlemanly like, oh, you're too drunk for
now,
me.
On the first of July, it was a no.
I'm not
feeling good and I ate too much.
That's a real one. Everybody's been there.
The 5th got the no, and I might be getting sick. On the 16th, he got a no, and the excuse was, I'm watching a show, and I don't want to miss anything. Which I apparently think was DVR'd.
I'd say Friends rerun.
I do something similar in that I document all of my sexual encounters for the last decade, and...
Is it a matchbook?
It's a 3x5 card somewhere around here. Do you have that, Marnie?
Okay. Also, it's on the same leaflet as that little teeny famous tiny Jewish sports it? Legends. Would you like to read this leaflet?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was on that little post-it that you handed me. My bad. I threw that away.
It was a post-it, yeah.
It was a post-it.
I love that line from Airplane. I'd like something light to read. How about this pamphlet, Famous Jewish Sports Legends?
Narrated by Howard Cosell.
That's funny.
Oh, it's come. It's 8:34 on a Tuesday. Now we've come to that's the end of our headline section. Thank you for suffering through that. We've come to the point of the show, our critically acclaimed segment called Crime Scene Footage.
I gotta meet this critic.
All right.
Well, four out of five said no, but one said yes, and that's the one we're going with.
We're going with that one dentist.
I think the fifth said, why are you calling me?
Positive review.
We have what we do is, it's called Crime Scene Footage, and we reenact touching 911 calls. Mm-hmm. And buddy, I don't know if you heard the one that Marnie and I did a few weeks ago. It was it was British. We had to do accents.
Oh,
this one also may involve accents, but I'm gonna
card, maybe.
I'm gonna Al, here's your script. Katie is yours.
Or after.
And we've just changed. Buddy, this is yours. It was Marnie's, but now it's yours. So,
all right, who am I?
You have to flip a few pages. You're the sheriff. You're the sheriff.
We need to talk about my
Al. Al is the man, and Katie is the dispatcher.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think Al is the man, but we'll...
Yeah, I know.
So
that's
before
the funniest part of it.
It's called acting.
Al's keeping us down.
This is a very serious thing. So we have to play.
It's kind of like Boys Don't Cry. Yeah. Was it?
Yeah, so just like a minute.
So now we're gonna play
character.
Let's open our segment. Let's open our segment. A new feature, critically acclaimed here on Q Talk America, called Crime Scene Footage. And now we take you directly to Studio C Theater, where we reenact the best of crime scene footage, direct from Crime Scene Footage. And now, our story for the day. Katie June.
Fire rescue, what's the address we need to come to?
Pardon me?
Your address, sir.
4220 Winkworth, baby. Texas Rio Grande.
I'm sorry, it's 4220.
Get on the mic, Al.
4220 Winford?
4220.
4220. That's 4220 Winford, sir.
Yes!
And what exactly is going on there?
All that shit happened yesterday night, and you motherfucker tried to put my ass in jail.
Oh.
I just don't understand what's going on.
Sir, do you need medical attention?
Yeah!
What is wrong?
I don't know. I ain't got no damn doctor.
Okay, sir, I am trying to help you.
Help me. Send some help out here. What the hell to hold up?
Sir, are you feeling pain? What is the problem?
I'm crazy as hell.
Sir, do you need us?
I don't know if I need you or not.
Sheriff's office, are you on the line?
Yes, we are.
Do you need us to go with you?
He said that he needs help. Somebody hurt him?
I ain't got my damn medicine this morning. I ain't got no medicine. I went to the fucking hospital. That doctor got mad because I told him that was white boys should fuck my mom a long time ago.
Sir, are you in pain somewhere?
Yes! I got headaches in my leg and everything. I'm in a fucking fight.
So you need or want the paramedics to come and check on you, correct?
Well, I thought that's what you get. What the hell's going on?
Sir, you need to calm down and talk to me. I am trying to help, and I'm trying to send the paramedics, but I need to understand what the problem is.
I don't know what the problem is.
Okay, but you're feeling head pain. Is that correct?
I've been injured. I've been hit on the head and everything else. How well do your motherfucker feel?
All right, and when did this happen?
Yesterday. Damn, my head is turned up. You're going to send somebody. You're going to fuck around on the phone.
Sir, I have no problem sending you help, okay? The paramedics will come and they will check you. How old are you?
I'm 62 years old. I retired from Diamond Crossing.
Okay, are you in the Millennium Point apartments?
Yes!
What apartment number are you?
What the fuck is going on down there?
Sir, I am trying to help you. What apartment number are you in?
Just see when my head is hurting. You tell me to stay on the goddamn line.
Can you tell me what apartment number you're in?
What?
Your apartment number are you in?
I ain't got no goddamn apartment. 42020, like I told you.
Are you in the Millennium Point apartments?
Motherfucker, what's wrong with you? How much school have you had?
Sir, are you in the Millennium Point apartments?
I told you that.
Okay. Start again. So what apartment number are you in?
I ain't got no damn apartment. It's a townhouse.
Okay, what kind of medical history do you have, sir?
I don't know. Let him check it out. I ain't no fucking doctor. I ain't no nurse either. What the fuck? Anything else you want to know?
Yes, what's your name?
I'm Reverend Lowdown.
And what's the number that you're calling from?
I don't know what it is. I gave you the goddamn address. That's enough.
Is your number 555-1212?
Well, you know the fucking number. Why you ask?
I mean, because I need to confirm it with
all
you.
All right,
sir.
You got it.
Do you not have an apartment number?
I ain't got no goddamn. I don't live in no goddamn apartment. I live in a townhouse, motherfucker.
Sir, do you have a townhouse number?
420, motherfucker.
Sheriff, we definitely, you want to go with us. We're on our way.
Okay, I'll let them know.
Sir, why don't you go ahead and stand in the line with the sheriff's office? Do you want to talk to him?
I'm going to try.
Thank you.
Hello, sir.
Yeah!
Sir, the guy that hit you, is he still there?
Hell yeah, he live across from me. They run a dope house right next to me.
Is he white, black, or Hispanic?
I don't know what the fuck color he is. You call him what you want to call him.
Well, what does he look like to you?
I don't know. He looked like one of Jesus' children.
He looked like what?
One of Jesus' children.
Okay, what's his skin color?
I don't know. I don't see no color.
Well, what color are the clothes he's wearing?
I don't know. The motherfucker in the house, Sheriff.
All right, then we'll have somebody come see you, okay?
All right.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Studio C reenacts crime scene footage. Join us next time for crime scene footage.
Richard in the chat room says he loves the shrieking harpy.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that might be me.
I don't think it
might be.
Reverend Lowdown. I've never heard anyone call you the right name before.
I'm Reverend Lowdown.
Reverend Lowdown. But between that and I'm crazy, when I heard that thing, I was dying.
Oh,
I'm
my like, God.
And I love that it's motherfuckers.
I just want you to know that all down, I did was I did the Sherry Shepherd angry uncle voice that she does all the time.
Oh my
Bye,
God.
Bye, Louise.
I don't know
have
what
a good
to
night,
it's okay,
Louise.
I speak jive.
Oh, wait, Louise is gone?
Yeah. Oh, he's went to bed.
Your boyfriend.
I think we're just going to be friends.
Because he went to bed.
Because he lives in Brazil. But...
You know, that's part of it.
Other than that.
Well, you all, seriously, awards. Awards.
Oh, yeah, that was
Trey
Share.
Very
well done.
That was funny.
Very
funny
well
shit. Oh my God. My mom's like, that was so funny.
Seriously?
Oh God.
A little bit sore right here in the dryer. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to expect, and that's what we got. Oh, fuck, that was funny. Al, and now it's time.
It's time about real entertainment.
It's time for Al Perkins and entertainment.
Entertainment! Pretty much the summer sucks.
Yeah, yeah it does.
Get close to that mic.
Seriously, the summer just sucks. So, Community got picked up. It Will Never Die. The Leftovers, Emmy nominations. And then I'm not sure if... Well, she's gone. So we'll talk... At some point, we'll have to talk about Stephen Smith getting suspended.
Oh, God.
Well, the player that actually hit the woman only got two games.
Right. Two games.
But Stephen Smith commenting on it got worse. So I'm not sure. There's a couple things I can't remember if we talked about.
We'll talk about them again.
The Nurse Jackie finale. I can't remember if that was before I left.
I don't think it was.
Nurse Jackie, fucking amazing. Okay. That show just went somewhere deep and dark and really, really good. If anybody's still following that show, if you still have Showtime. Merritt Weaver, no Emmy nomination this year, if I'm not mistaken, but I'll have to
Correct.
Google it.
No, you're right.
And
she won last year.
And she won last year, but she will get nominated again next year for this season that ended because she just hit it out of the park, and she finally turns on Jackie and lays down the law about addiction, and it was really genius. If you were suffering through, there's one little season of Nurse Jackie that's a little weak, and you think, oh, maybe we're winding it down, but they got renewed and they really came back. Community, the show that will never die, even I gave up on this because I couldn't get anybody to watch it, got picked up by Yahoo. It got canceled, and now they're getting their sixth season because the Community thing is six seasons in a movie, and Community got picked up by Yahoo. And they're going to get another season out of it, and they'll never get 100 because they've never done a full 22 episode season.
Oh, they haven't?
No. So they won't get the full thing, but they're on their way to this. Their tagline has always been six seasons in a movie. They started that whole trend of what you want out of a series.
Okay.
I have to announce in entertainment news that my DVR for the first time in history is completely empty.
There is
not one thing saved.
Wow.
Everything has been cataloged, and sent to heaven.
Wow. I have things from two years ago.
Wow. I'm not saying I didn't delete shit because I gave up all hope, but it's done.
Catfish is still sitting on mine. Is that what it's called? Not Catfish.
The documentary?
Yeah, there's a documentary. The one about SeaWorld, what is that called?
Oh, Blackfish.
Blackfish. Still sitting on my DVR.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know. I'm sure it is.
That's amazing.
Can't really
tried to watch that.
You couldn't get into what? Blackfish?
It was too difficult for me to watch.
Oh, yeah. It's not,
truly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not.
By the way, speaking of Blackfish, do you know what I saw today on that just
a whitefish?
No. We're talking Blackfish, the CNN documentary, yep. Mm-hmm. Correct? Okay. So I stumbled upon Larry King, who refuses to die. Right. He now has an online television little thing he does, and he interviews a bunch of people, and he's interviewed a lot of people. And today I was watching an interview of him and Craig Ferguson, the guy who's leaving The Late Late Show on CBS, right? So in the middle of it, it's about a 30 minute interview that he does, and he has sponsorships, unlike our show, where there are actual advertisements that come on in the middle of it. One of them was SeaWorld, and they flipped all around.
I saw that.
The whole thing is, you know, the preservation of animals, we've done so much for the education of, and blah, 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 blah. And they literally show one of the killer whales that's got the bent over a dorsal fin, right? But the whole thing, they're flipping the entire thing. It's all about they are saving the world and their education.
Oh, yeah, they're rebranding. They think they're Siegfried and Roy. Oh, and it's all bullshit. But they've lost sponsors, they've lost money, and it's going to end up that they're going to – what the plan is now is they're going to have pens in sanctuary waters off the coast where – because they can't release – some of these whales are so damaged that they can't release
them
back
survive.
Into the wild.
They could never survive.
Sure. So they're going to put them in sea pens, but bigger ones. They're going to be like it's like federally sanctioned
waters.
Right. And that's where they're going to put them to live out the rest of the day. So you can go and you'll be able to like see them, but no tricks, no interactions with humans, and they will just let them all go humanely.
Like how big are the sea pens, though?
Oh, it's like an entire bay. They'll just take a bay that's not being used. But they'll have bigger lands because they can't survive in the wild, so it would just turn into a mass killing.
Yeah.
But if you see Blackfish, there's a documentary that's even more horrible called The Cove.
I saw that one.
Yeah, okay. So that's the same idea.
I saw that one in the theaters, thank you.
Yes.
I was the one.
So, no, I did too. Terrifying. Because of, thank God for imagine. Harkin's Camel View. So
is that still going away, by the way?
Yes.
Yes, but it's going to turn into what you want. It's going.
Yeah, it is going to be... moved into
the Esplanade. It'll be like an Esplanade kind of thing.
Ah.
So you'll have art house movies for five, and then you'll have like 7B.
Oh, got it.
It's like transition
theater
thing,
inside the mall and Camel View are combining. They're going to be.
Oh, right.
But you'll
still
get your independent films.
Oh, that's good.
Films.
And they'll do cocktails. They're going to. They're trying to compete with Esplanade because they're in Scottsdale. And I'm like, it makes sense. Like, I'll give
beer
them that.
And food at the movies.
But it might be the end of Shea 14, which is sad because that's their own. Because they're not, they might cannibalize Shea 14, which is kind of sad. But because I'm always anything that Harkins does, you just support them.
So, I don't even remember hearing about The Cove. Was that in the last?
I know,
it
I don't either.
Probably it's about 4 years ago,
four or five years ago, won the Oscar. It's out of Japan. It's where all your dolphins
sounds
that
like
you swim
a movie with.
With
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That one.
Yeah, and it's how they catch them, and it's actually a spy movie. How they
the
movie
it's very riveting.
Everyone agrees that what's going on in this cove is horrible because the blood washes out with the tide. So everybody
nobody
knows
can get
pictures
down there.
Of the blood.
It's literally espionage.
Yeah. So how they get it is they have to do late night camera setups. Cameras under the water. They have to. There's a guy that goes around and beats people up and breaks your camera.
What?
You're not allowed to take any pictures in this town in Japan. And it really is being run by this like organization to keep any kind of filming done. And they were actually able to make the movies. The movie's about like we're going to prove that this horror is going on, but no one doubts it. But what we're going to show you is how difficult it is to take one picture in this town in Japan. And they show the guy that's following them around, harassing them. Like he crashes their car, he breaks their camera. It's craziness.
Is
because they don't want anything.
They don't want you to know like how horrible what they're
doing.
Because they lure the dolphins in and then they selectively kill them and capture them, and then they just leave the corpses to go back out
but
to
what
sea.
But what are they killing them for?
To bring to all the little amusement parks that you go to. You're like, oh, it's fun to pet dolphins.
I'm like, why are they being killed then? What's
because
the
they
blood?
Only take the cute ones and they slaughter the rest and let them go out with the tide.
Oh, my God, no.
So that's why you never go to somewhere that has dolphins for you to like play with or
don't
swim.
Swim with
don't
dolphins.
Go to a dolphin.
Dolphins
do not.
For food, Tomo yeah. has.
And then what they do is the ones that they don't like, that can't make it out with the tide, they turns out they were serving them as tuna in the Japanese schools.
Right.
But they had, like, because the bigger the fish, the more mercury there is. And there was so much mercury poisoning because they were two steps up on the food chain and they were getting the dolphins.
Oh, my God.
I can't even imagine.
The higher you go on
that.
The food chain, the more mercury there is. So, like, tuna's really bad for you. But if you go up a couple more steps, if you ate shark, it would just all be mercury. Like, you know what I mean? So, I mean, the diseases that are going through these everything around this town.
And the people that are, they're swimming in this water that's just all blood.
It's all blood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
It is one of the craziest movies. It's a brilliant documentary.
And that's just one of those things where we've talked about before. Like, it can be as blood, but I don't think that I could.
Yeah, but you also, the next time someone says, do you want to go swim? No.
But here's some positive news to end that. I found this little, image that says, before the cove was released, 2,000 dolphins would die each year in Tajai. Last year, only 800 were killed.
No, it's made a difference.
Yeah.
The film has made a difference.
Yeah. And it really did because no one believed it because there was no pictures.
A lot of pressure on the Japanese government.
Sure. And now there's the fake story today about the whaling. It's not a real story, but that like there was a fire on one of the last whaling ships that Japan sends out, and a couple people jumped overboard waiting for lifeboats. Mm-hmm. They panicked because of the fire and they were eaten by whales. But it really took like 4 or 5 times to find out that it was a fake story. Okay. And I'm still not absolutely convinced it's fake because it still hasn't been, I still can't verify where it's from, but Google it because it's all over everything. It's all over Facebook today about the whalers getting eaten. So the Emmy nominations, Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama Series, no big surprises except for Masters of Sex. I guess everyone liked that more than I did. But Kerry Washington has another shot to win. Robin Wright gets nominated for House of Cards.
Tatiana Maslany's sort of kind of the big snub.
Right, again, and Orphan Black. And that just came up because I gave up on all these people with recommending TV shows. So I just never started
with
Orphan Black.
But you did talk about Orphan Black a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Because it's impossible to find. So now I'm trying to like find a way to help you all watch it. Mm-hmm. And I can't find it. It's not on demand. Right. BBC On Demand is not on Cox Cable.
Yes, it is. Oh, not on demand, but I found it on BBC.
Yeah, you just have to go to the computer to watch it.
No.
Oh, if you have, like, internet TV.
BBC America.
Right. But to, like, catch up from the back episodes.
Oh, well,
you got to rent. You have to rent the DVDs. It's not an easy thing to binge watch. Like, you have to have a rental service, and you got to get them. And BBC takes it away. They don't replay it, and they don't have an on-demand on our Cox.
Okay.
So if you saw it, good for you. If not, well, you're fucked, because it's never going to happen.
But she is
the person that everyone was rooting for. Juliana Margulies for what was called one of the best seasons of The Good Wife.
Did Kerry Washington win last year?
No, she didn't.
And she would have been like the first African American woman to win something.
And now that show's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, so the nominees are all really good.
Do you watch that one, buddy? Scandal?
No, I don't watch.
No, but he's a big fan of The Good Wife.
Oh,
I love The Good Wife. The Good Wife is one of my favorites.
I thought about it because everyone loves it. But aren't we at like 7 Brilliant. Seasons in or something crazy? Like I'd have to go.
This was the 5th?
Yeah,
fifth or sixth. Oh, I thought it was farther in.
Brilliant every week. And here's why I usually don't get caught up in like, these people were snubbed and whatever. I mean, it's just a fucking group of people who giving their opinion. So I can't get too worked up.
It's similar
but
to this
show. What irritates
me
is The Good Wife is still a show that produces 22 fucking fantastic episodes a season. Mm. And it loses out to, I don't care how good it is, True Detective, which puts up, 6 or 8 shows. You know, and I think there should be a standard. I'm like, I think the Emmys should say, if you want to win our awards, and we know you do, you need to produce a certain number of shows.
But I also think the 22-episode model is going to die very soon.
Everybody's
going to go
the
13.
Orange is the New Black, the 13 episodes.
Everybody's going to go with the cable model of 13 episodes.
I want more.
No, but a lot of people, like, you get those middle episodes of, like, okay, now you're just wasting time to get to a plot. Like,
sure.
The last season was 22 episodes was the season that you're like, there's like 5 episodes in the middle that you're like,
just please stop.
Get to the end.
Yeah.
Leading actor Bryan Cranston for Breaking Bad. Unfortunately, he's going to win and he's going to take Kevin Spacey's well-deserved Emmy. Woody Harrelson and Matthew.
Isn't this the last time that he can be nominated for Breaking Bad?
But, yeah. And by all accounts, a great season. But the fact is that Kevin Spacey
is better.
That is his award. Like, that is the performance of a lifetime. Even better. And Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson will probably cancel each other out.
Yeah.
But very, you know, they're both nominated.
I thought
nominated.
You had said that Woody Harrelson wasn't nominated.
No,
remember
he was.
Remember when we were talking about it, I thought that it was odd that one
that was
of them
a different
wasn't.
Award show.
Oh,
that was
it.
A, that
okay.
was a different. That was
okay.
like the critics. Supporting actress in a drama series. There's nothing exciting here.
No. Too much love for Downton Abbey.
Yeah,
know.
Exactly. It really is. And I can't think of, there's somebody important missing from that one, and I can't
think
of who it is.
Yeah, you're right. There is.
supporting actor Aaron Paul is going to win. That race is already over. They're all going to
Oh, I know
it.
Who's missing.
Do you think it's just because it's over? So that everyone's just going to
No,
like...
I mean, they really went on it. I didn't enjoy the show because I hate Aaron Paul, and I can't make
oh,
it. I can't get through it. I can't.
What I wanted to say about supporting actors was Melissa McBride for The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Snubbed.
The Walking
favorite
Dead.
Of these Downton Abbey chicks.
Yeah, the Walking Dead snub amazes me, especially for Melissa McBride.
Who's Melissa McBride?
Shoot
Carol.
Her in the head. Go look
oh,
at
Carol.
The flowers.
Shoot her in the head.
And,
look at the flowers.
And now I just forgot the one that I was saying, too. But there's Hannibal. No, nothing for Hannibal.
Yeah, oh, I know you're all over
and
that.
And there's a
oh.
fucking cinematography
tried
award
to watch
in here.
I a couple times and I just couldn't.
It's
it was
I'm
a
not
lot.
Saying it's easy, but
yeah,
so
lot.
Outstanding guest actress Kate Mara becomes a guest actress in this one.
I'm obsessed with her.
And the one that gets all the attention is Allison Janney in
yeah,
her episode of Masters of Sex, which I actually saw that episode, and I have to say, I don't like that show very much, but she was, again,
I think
she can do no wrong.
I really think she could be in absolutely anything, and she's brilliant.
You know how I feel about Margot Martindale. Like, she can do no wrong.
Right. And
in
so,
anything
who's
she's...
Who's that?
She's been in every single thing you've ever seen in your life. Margot Martindale, just Google her.
Everything
there's not
ever
a movie
seen.
Or TV show you have not seen her in.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
she is fourth billed in every movie or TV show of the last 5 years.
The Americans, The Millers, which she kind of makes, and I don't watch it a lot, but...
So just kind of amazing. Writing for a drama series is all the usual suspects. Nothing. There's nothing really exciting because I'm sorry, but Hannibal. But but True Detective gets some stuff. There is. Where are the comedy awards? Okay, lead actress in a comedy series. Obviously, people are watching A Different Girls than I'm watching because that show
people are loving it.
Is so god awful terrible. Yeah. And I seriously want to club this girl like a baby seal.
Which show?
Girls. I hate it.
Oh yeah,
and I had physical. And you know, I will watch anything till the bitter end just to say that I hate watching True Blood right now, which actually got a little bit better. But I can't take her. I can't take her, and I can't take that show.
I really liked the first season of it, but season two, like episode one, I was already lost. I just didn't care.
In comedy, I wish there had been more love for the Mindy Project or any love for the Mindy Project.
Oh my god, who I just think that show is so great.
And the important this is the category that they got it pretty much right. Melissa McCarthy, Mike and Molly. She's just playing a fat girl, but Edie Falco, Nurse Jackie, amazing. Well, she really
gloss over that.
No, I just want to tell you, Tammy. I lost all hope in her with Tammy. That movie was just outright.
I don't even understand that.
Bad, just bad. So now, I get it. You're going to play that same character, and you're going to bring me to tears once during the movie, just because you can. She needs. Her husband can't direct and write any more of her movies. That day is over.
Seriously.
But Julia Louis-Dreyfus, come on, let's
brilliant.
Face it.
Oh my God. I think amazing. This is going to be Amy Poehler's year.
I do
really
too. But we've said that the last 5 years.
That's true, except. Julia's been there, so you can't argue with.
And Ricky Gervais gets a nomination for
weird.
Derek.
Never
really
even
weird.
Heard of it?
Matt LeBlanc for episodes that show is very clever and very cute, but it is not Emmy worthy.
Yeah. That's
Don
a weak
Cheadle
field,
for House
I
of
think.
Lies.
It's a Are weak you, field.
This,
There's not
this
a lot
is the,
of
the weakest year. William Macy actually switched from drama to comedy to get a nomination, and I'm watching The Big Bang Theory on demand now. And because they've given him more people to act off of, it's not so much a show about a mentally ill person that's very, very sad because the people around him kind of help him. But I find that show very disturbing that it's not funny. He's on the spectrum. Like this kid
Sheldon.
Yeah, he needs help.
Yeah.
Every time I watch that show, I'm like, how is Marnie not up their ass? I call him, but this show actually makes fun of him. Stranger danger.
Too,
so outstanding supporting.
I really like Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah,
I do too.
It's real fun.
And it's a shame because you were just counting off the best actor nominations, and I'm like, Andy Samberg is giving a true comedic performance.
Yeah, some of these other aren't just genuine comedy.
No,
he's
Matt
really...
LeBlanc saying himself, but in supporting actress Julie Bowen for Modern Family, Allison Janney for Mom. I think
brilliant.
I think she's a lock.
She
Kate
owns
McKinnon.
That show.
Hysterical.
Thank God, Kate McKinnon. Someone has found the love for
good.
Her, and she gets a nomination for In the Twin Bed.
Oh, I saw that for the song.
For the song. Yeah. So yeah. She and the heavier girl that
Aidy Bryant,
they co-wrote
it. Who I follow on Twitter, on Instagram.
So love they her. Got nominations but, for that, and I think they have a chance of winning that because that song
yeah,
is.
They do.
What's it called? Getting dirty in a twin bed,
something
or,
like yeah. that.
And it, oh my god!
But that category belongs to Allison Janney. If you watch that show,
she's yes. so
it's
good.
It's not the
she's
best show, but no. she but she's is good. Spot.
We talk about it, yep. She's just winning. She's she taking is. A completely unlikable character
she,
and makes her just breathtaking.
But I love yeah. with Kate McKinnon. I like got Kate McKinnon in my head the other day, and so I was just Googling her and watching like all these videos that were coming up, and I was just watching interviews where she's on late shows, and she's just hilarious.
She really is.
Like her delivery's just funny, her dry sense, a bit, you know, when she's on these talk shows, she's amazing.
And if you
her.
Get a chance, there's a episode of... Weekend Update, where she talks about her village in yeah. like Russia or the Ukraine, where she's the prettiest woman in the village yeah. and all the stuff she has to do, and that she's poor and starving, and it's absolutely she's hysterical, so her interaction with Seth MacFarlane. But so Kate Mulgrew for Red and Orange is the New Black, another possible winner. Kate McKinnon, very good. Anna Chlumsky from Veep,
oh, love.
Another yeah. great character, and Mayim Bialik mm-hmm. for The Big Bang Theory. That is a six winners. Like, it should be Allison Janney, but if any of them
but
win,
you could yeah. I mean Julie Bowen won twice already. She's yeah. great.
Go ahead.
We have a crossover. We're going to come back with Al Perkins, continuing on with entertainment. Coming up in just moments, Katie June is going to do sports and other stuff. Of course, we close out every third hour with thoughtful vulgarity. We'd like to let the affiliates know that are out there because of the addition of Buddy Early. We may run over. This show may go into the fourth hour. We're not sure yet. We'll let you know as we go along.
Cleveland, are you there?
It's all good. It is the show on Q-Talk America. Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, guest in studio right now. Buddy Early, who...
Trey Scher started
our show fabulous. With us a couple years ago. He is in here just... for the evening, I guess. He got off work early. Thank you for showing up. We'll be back in just seconds, continuing on with Al Perkins and entertainment right after this.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again. It's 9 o'clock in Phoenix, Arizona. This is Q-Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee, sitting alongside Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. Buddy Early is here. Thank you for joining us. It's Tuesday night. That means that we are in studio, typically live, from 7 to 10 Phoenix time. Thank you all for joining us. So many people tonight in the chat room. Somebody's listening in Jordan, the United States. Of course, Tomo's in New Zealand. People from around the world
Canada,
joining us.
Canada, Brazil.
All over the place. It's crazy.
Are there any American listeners?
Rip Taylor was there.
Rip
Harrison. Right?
Luis in
yeah,
Brazil.
Yeah, we have some. Laura. Couple few. Molly.
Luis said he was bowing out of the chat room, but he was going to listen until he falls asleep, which oddly, when Al can't sleep at home, he listens to old shows and goes right to sleep. So somehow...
puts him right down.
Does Luis want me to... sing a
we're gonna find out.
A lullaby.
I have asked Luis to email me privately so we can.
I saw that. Yeah. Whatever he says about me, Luis, is
isn't that funny?
A lie.
River stuck it.
Yeah. Luis, no one else is listening. Can you email me?
No, I typed
no,
it right
there
in the chat room.
Like, I'm not gonna see.
Yeah,
no, it's all right.
I'm not gonna see. I'm not gonna see what you're doing to me.
Our drinking world is Trey Scher. Drinking phrase, really. Trey Scher. So if you hear us do that, by the way, if you don't already have a beverage, you should. Because that's how that greases the wheels of this show every week. And right now, the greased wheel belongs to Al because he's in the middle of entertainment.
All right, so we'll go back to the finish up the Emmy nominations, or just what we're going to cover. Outstanding supporting actor in a comedy series, Andre Brower for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is a great nomination, playing a gay character, mm-hmm. and really a good. I just like
that.
He does a really good job. Adam Driver. As Adam Sackler. And I have to say, he is the only thing on that show that I can
tolerate. Is it related to
tolerate.
Related to Minnie?
No.
Oh, oddly.
But he's strangely attractive. Ty Burrell is Phil Dunphy from Modern Family.
I love him.
Jesse Tyler Ferguson is Mitchell Pritchett. And I think those are both for the wedding episode, personally. You can actually go in and look and see what episode they submitted to find out.
Right, yeah.
And Sofia Vergara was always accused of putting in the episode that made Claire look better.
Yeah, exactly.
All her episodes.
Somebody goes to goldderby.com.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I spend a lot of my time.
Wait, why would she put the episode in that makes Claire look
better?
No,
they usually are up against each other in the same category.
Sure.
And so Sofia Vergara had this habit of putting up this episode that the people who vote would watch, and it would actually be a better episode for Julie Bowen. So they got to see Julie doing some brilliant work twice.
Right.
And Sofia Vergara is running around like an idiot in some episode that doesn't showcase her really.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. So, like, just inadvertently doing that. Like, not intentionally saying,
And they said that maybe her and her agent just... No, but she was probably picking an episode that really worked for all of them and not...
Ensemble.
And I found out about this with Shelley Long for Cheers back in the day, that Shelley Long Shelley Long would always put in an episode that would show her off more dramatic, an episode where it was more dramatic, and she would always lose the Emmy because they were like, it's a comedy thing, lady. Show us the comedy stuff. And it's funny, and almost everybody puts in a pregnancy or giving birth episode, and if you notice, almost all the Emmys ever won are won because of a birth episode. Jennifer Aniston for Friends.
Oh, I was just going to say.
Alisa Kudrow for Friends.
Oh.
Helen Hunt for Mad About You. You find an episode where somebody gives birth.
Because it just tugs at people and they love it. And they're like, oh,
because they find a way to make birth funny. Screaming at your husband. And it's a cheap shot. Fred Armisen gets nominated for Portlandia, which is a show that's another one. Hard to find. Really fucking funny.
Okay.
Crazy fucking funny.
There was a 1 in 10 fundraiser, that crazy thing. Yeah, so that song, the jazz thing, which actually ended up being really fun. Like, it was a really cool night, and the jazz musicians were great, and it was a very cool thing. And the last performer, Angel Boucher, is from Portlandia, and I totally crush on Portlandia. So I was having like a D-list celebrity moment where I'm like, oh my God, can I get my picture taken with you? She's just like the big guitar playing lesbian who plays with Katie Lang in like the last episode. And she was awesome. Anyway.
I have a very good friend who's been on the show several times. And in like meaty part.
Yes, this woman
and
is
in fact,
in
she
the
just
same.
Texted me meaty. Like in the last 10 minutes, not about Portlandia, but
meaty
here she is.
Parts.
Again, she just texted me a high
hey,
five.
Hi, hi. What's her name?
Her name is Dana Milliken, and she's freaking brilliant. I used to do comedy with her back at ASU, and she's got these brilliant comic instincts. She played the wedding planner.
Oh, right.
If you remember the wedding planner episode of Portlandia, where Fred she's brilliant in it. Her little subtle reactions, her decisions, her choices. I watch it over and over. And I'm like, Dana, I love you. I wish she was listening right now. I should have told her I was going to be coming down
that,
there.
Well, and no, it's a tough to find show. It's only online that I know of. I don't know where else Portland is.
Oh, no, IFC.
I don't get IFC. I pay that much for cable and I don't get IFC.
So really? Two questions. One is, just because you were talking about Amy Poehler before, there's that new
her brother.
Sweden.
It's her brother.
That's her brother.
She's an executive producer.
And Will Ferrell's been on it. Erin said she tried to watch it and was... just
it's a very
real
different taste.
Watch,
I haven't seen it, but from what I've seen, they're going for something completely different.
Okay, because she said I'll try, and
but
I
she figured, just didn't like it.
No, not even a little bit.
Hmm. Yeah,
and going along with entertainment. Mr. Early, you had something on about a play in...
Oh, can I just finish this?
Yeah. No, I want something real quick. Because I want him to talk.
I like that. That was funny. Can I finish my segment, please? Thank you.
No,
really?
My other good friend from college, like I've had two. I've had several. Heidi Sulzman.
The one other person.
Heidi Sulzman, who's a brilliant actress in L.A., is in a play called One in the Chamber. And I think it was a play based on a film, actually. I'm not even sure. But the play is getting great reviews. She's getting great reviews. I wish I could remember the name of the theater that it's playing at. But if you're in L.A., One in the Chamber. It's a true story of, I think, the playwright interviewed family members of someone who was shot by... accidentally by another family member, like a kid, pulled the gun and killed his
Based
brother
in Florida.
Or something like that.
probably.
Right.
So if you're in L.A. listening, really, go see One in the Chamber.
Excellent. Thank you. Now, Mr. Perkins.
Oh, it is based on a movie. Huh. Okay. So to finish it off, so Tony Hale for Veep. Which I think he has a good. I think he has a shot at winning too. Another good category.
Fun.
But here we get to the fun part: the guest actor, outstanding guest actress in a comedy series, is where all the money is. Natasha Lyonne for Orange Is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
Uzo Aduba as Crazy Eye Suzanne Warren from Orange is the New Black. Now, this is for the first season, so I don't think she's going to win because it's the second season where she would just blew it out of the water.
Yeah, but and that's what my question is. How do they determine guest?
Yeah, because you're there's not, a like, weird
character.
What they do is in the opening credits, if you're in the opening credits and you're listed, like now Mayim Bialik is in the opening credits of The Big Bang Theory, but a couple years ago, she would come on in the end and it would say, guest starring... Mayim Bialik. So then you're a guest star. If you're not in the title, credits. You're a guest star.
Not necessarily. It doesn't. It's not mutually exclusive. You can, if you're not in the title, still put yourself in the category.
Oh, yeah, you can.
So it's not both ways.
Right. But you can't make yourself a guest star if you're in the credits, the opening credits.
BB Newworth won twice when she was a guest star.
Right. But that's where that's all the trouble comes from, Cheers winning.
Sure. Because so she was not a guest star.
No, because she was a series.
She was probably half the episodes. And then after she won a couple times, they're like, we're going to put you in the opening because you won two of these.
Right.
But not then, going anywhere. Oh, my God. She's got an Oscar nomination, too. Crazy, funky lady. She's in Scrooged. Carol Kane.
For Taxi.
An Emmy win for Best Actress, and she was only in one episode.
As does Ruth Gordon, also for Taxi.
For one episode. Mm. And that's when they started, bouncing it around. So there's all kinds of rules. But now I know Suzanne for sure and Laverne Cox for sure are now considered series regulars. They got promoted. And so did Tasty.
Because there was talk of Allison Janney in Masters of Sex. I had heard she'd been in enough episodes where they're like, is she going to be a guest star?
You're not a series regular. So yeah.
She had the option, I think.
But you can't go down. You can't be in the opening credits and go down.
Julie
to
Bowen
a guest
can't
star.
Be like, I'm going to be a guest star.
Yeah.
Got it.
So those are the first three, and then it doesn't matter who's next, but one of them probably win. Tina Fey is the host of Saturday Night Live, Joan Cusack in Shameless, which amazing. I've watched enough of that show to say she's good. And Melissa Carthy from Saturday Night Live. But here we go, and here's my big prediction. Outstanding guest actor in a comedy series, Nathan Lane is Pepper Saltzman
for the wedding
episode.
He was so fun.
Why are the only two of you? Two of them are volunteer firemen. Play next to a mirror. Everything about that episode with Lily, why am I talking to you right now? Walk. Everything in that wedding episode was brilliant. Yeah. But Steve Buscemi is Marty in Portlandia. Louis C.K. from Saturday Night Live. Jimmy Fallon from Saturday Night Live. Bob Newhart in The Big Bang Theory will probably take this one because he only has one Emmy and he's about to die. Sure. And it was as a guest actor. He didn't win an Emmy till he was a guest actor on...
Which is crazy, we talked about that, how nuts that was.
And Gary Cole, who's like the only person on Veep that's not funny, Gary Cole gets a nomination, and I don't understand that.
Which one's Gary Cole?
Which one is he?
Midnight Caller.
I need to look.
Gary Cole.
Was it called Night Caller?
Midnight Caller.
I used to watch that show because he was a radio host and answered calls.
I think that there was brilliant stuff with him. I just watched it.
And I don't know where he came from, but it seemed like that was a long time ago, and that was like one of his first gigs.
I'm excited for the Emmys.
If Gary Cole's going to be on there, then what's the tall guy's name and how it?
You love
on Veep. What's his name?
The walking human piece of shit.
Yeah.
Why can't I think of his name? No. Anyways, if you're going to nominate somebody.
We can figure out a way to look that up.
I know, but now I need to look that up.
All right. So
Jonah.
Jonah, the living walking piece of shit. Jonah, do you like travel?
Who is great? He's so great. When he gets pissed off at his mom.
Do you enjoy swearing in travel? Fuck off. Yeah.
Timothy Simons. Simons?
Yeah. But anyways, he's Jonah.
That's who he is.
Fucking God dang it.
So, movies this year have all sucked unless you've seen Cold in July or what's the movie about the train?
Snowpiercer. Those two have been great. Oh, and Boyhood.
Oh my God, you really need to carve out three hours.
Yeah.
I want to go.
I don't really say about that, but everything has sucked. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
I know. I was interested to see what you would think of that.
The Anarchy.
I kind of wanted to see that too.
How do I find Purge. Cold in July? I haven't started
video on demand.
I have it on my phone.
It actually was on video on demand at the same time it was in the theater.
Okay. And so is Snowpiercer. So Snowpiercer is actually on video on demand too.
What the world is that?
Okay, by the way, so with my ignorance, if I have DirecTV, I can go in and just put it.
However you get to on demand.
Okay.
Part of on demand is free TV, and part of on demand is you can rent movies. So when you get to rent movies, you just rent Cold in July.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's
okay.
it. So freaking and then The Leftovers has started on HBO. It is not science fiction. It is a crazy character study on what happens after maybe the rapture. We don't know where the missing people went. They were all disappeared. Oh my God. It's so weird and like intriguing. And there's a cult that starts because, and then there's a religious guy that's trying to prove that the people that left weren't morally superior. So this isn't the rapture. And he wants everyone to like stop thinking of them as heroes. So he's on this quest to prove that people, like all the horrible things that the people that are gone did. Okay. So you won't think it's the rapture. These people are all trying to die faster, so they're like smoking mass amounts of cigarettes and jumping off buildings.
Because they just like
want to
die. Because
they want to be in the rapture. Oh my God. Okay. And it's, and there's no like, we got to wait 18 episodes to find out who's related to who. They give it all away in the pilot. Like,
and how many episodes in?
We're like 5 or 6 episodes in, and I watched them. I watched most of them last night. It is. It's very. It's just.
See, I just so Kelly, we have it taped. We have all of the episodes sitting on the DVR, but I just haven't started it because it seems it just doesn't seem like my thing. But you're saying it's good, and I always take your advice.
So. It is. It's just not the sci-fi Lost kind of
like
thing.
The Dome. I was into for a second, and then just not.
Oh, the Dome changes tone. Yeah. It's the Dome suffers from that whole thing of what's the other show that I hate that Smash that would change the entire tone of the show in one sentence.
Yeah,
one. I mean, the characters just change motivations mid sentence.
Oh yeah, and I'm still watching.
I hate you. You're my best friend. You're my hero. Exactly. Oh my God, I love you. Like what?
Yeah.
Like you don't.
So
know
that's what, why I didn't. That was what I was equating this to.
No,
was
and
the
it's not the same at all.
Under
it's
the dome.
Very, very interesting, and just how everybody reacts after an event. Like, how does the world?
And it's October 14th.
They all talk about October 14th.
Because we're supposed to have another event.
Exactly.
We're actually, like, scientists are predicting that there's going to be some, like, big mass extinction event coming up.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, there needs to be. I mean, that's how the world works.
Yeah. I hope I'm not in it. I mean, I just, like, really want to have another baby and then love that person. So anyway, there's that.
Yeah, there you go. So that's pretty much it for entertainment. I mean, if you get it, like I said, it's not terribly exciting TV, but it's really like watchable. Yeah.
No, I
and
do
Justin
have,
Theroux is gorgeous.
I do have a few shows that because it's summer and it's slim pickings that I am watching, including Under the Dome. But even though
it's hate TV,
yeah, it's hate TV. Tyrant is kind of interesting.
Oh, if you I haven't seen watched it.
It's got a lot of potential, and that's why I keep watching it. And as grim and gruesome and depressing as it is, I have to watch The Bridge every week because Damien Bashir is
oh, and Harrison
oh,
loves
so
it.
So yummy
that show. I haven't seen season two, but season one I really enjoyed.
Season two, it's and in the midst of season two right now.
What are those
and
on?
It's just so
I don't know what the
murder
bridge is.
And darkness.
The
and,
Bridge is FX. It's something easy. It's is it FX or is it?
It's FX.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about Tyrant?
Wednesday nights. Tyrant is on. US.
Tyrant
Tuesday
looks
nights.
Good.
It's got a lot of potential and it's.
Is it USA? Is Tyrant
I
USA?
I think it's USA, yeah. I think you're right.
The but one that I can't even handle is Satisfaction. Have you guys seen anything about that?
Oh, I
the
caught
cheating,
about 15 minutes
on
of
each
it,
other.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
No, what is that? Know. Yeah, and it would...
They
like,
just decided to like, have an open marriage.
He comes home, finds his wife, fucking some guy, chases down the guy. The guy says, well, she's paying me because she's looking for something outside
and somehow
of
he gets the guy's cell phone, and so then he gets his women
his
calling
jacket.
For this kid,
yeah.
But he's... following up on these calls to go have sex with women for money. And
because if she's going to do it, why not him? And I said, every time it comes on, every time the preview or whatever comes on, I find myself kind of angry and like turning it. It's like an ASPCA commercial. I'm fucking irritated that it's even on my TV. I don't know. But
True Blood, really, they've kind of upped their game. They killed off a couple people unnecessarily just to streamline the cast. But they needed to do that a couple seasons ago. And now it's kind of interesting. They're going out with a little bit of a bang. It's watchable. It's still dirty, fucking sexy.
Isn't there a big thing coming back for you guys? Is The Walking Dead?
Oh, soon.
Oh my God. Can't wait. Away.
October.
Okay. Oh, okay. I just
but
saw
no,
the, more things
no,
on.
The Comic-Con just ended, so...
It's oh, been okay. Yeah up on there, and I there's the new trailer. But I've okay. also
but doesn't
liked
she look like the lead
TV?
Girl from Under the Dome, just without red hair?
Oh yeah, she does.
Every like oh, I honestly like it's the same fucking person.
She yeah, sounds right. beautiful.
You get a little glamour shot posing.
There
her.
You go.
She like, sounds amazing. If you just had curly red hair, like freckles and all.
Oh, wow, interesting. Yeah. So the yeah. and the one like junky just like TV show that I'm really into is Gang Related.
I, oh, yeah, I don't
Erin
know much
can't
about that, but
give
I heard,
that up. She loves
it's
that.
It's really good.
Loves it.
Yeah, Kelly and I are super into it.
Yeah.
So that's a fun one.
She's loving that.
All right, so that's it for
TV.
Entertainment.
That's it for entertainment. All right, we're going to come
and then
back.
And I left the Stephen A. Smith in case you were going to cover that.
I'm sure we'll get to that.
Are you?
Okay, I guess not.
Well, we'll talk. Well, I'm sure we'll throw it in this board. You can do
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
Stand
oh,
by.
Yeah.
We're coming right back with Katie with sports and other stuff.
Yeah, no, sorry.
I too. You talk America.
If you think it sucked so far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
Is the Cube Talk America Radio Network.
This week in sports
and other stuff.
UFC fighter is super pro gay. Lots of controversy in the NFL this week. Beating up women is bad, but not nearly as bad as smoking weed. A Suns player gets busted for a super extreme DUI.
Extreme
which
DUI.
Is a thing. Today in sports news history and nude beach blowjob jet ski fight.
Yay!
Sports.
Trey
share on that. Exactly.
Can you lead with that?
Wait, say that again. What was that last night? Beach, what was it?
Nude beach blowjob jet ski fight leads to wife's death.
Oh.
No, but it's all good things.
Oh, you'll never, good. You'll never get a second blowjob.
She dies, but it's all good.
You'll never get a second blowjob if she dies during the first
one. That's true. It's all good things. Okay, so.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
Kyle Kingsbury.
Never has two cups at home.
Yeah.
I've been actually really into UFC fighting lately. I think I might have said before. There's two women that are, this one girl, Misha Cupcake Tate. You just like, I care about her. Not that anyone else does or will, but
is that her real name, Misha?
Misha Cupcake Tate.
Yeah, I figured, right?
I'm gonna Google this.
Well, I thought the cupcake was
she's
real.
So good. She can't beat this girl, Ronda Rousey, and Ronda Rousey is the fucking bomb. And she's gonna start fighting guys.
Well, she's the one that they wanted her to fight. Mayweather.
Yes, and I think she should do it.
Oh, she's hot actually.
Misha Tate.
Yeah. I'm on. Google's
when
an amazing
have, like,
tool.
A really bad day. I just like I watched an amazing fight of hers, and I run and
does the lightning
she's
hit?
In my head, and like I listen to
two
Katy
fingers.
Perry.
Two fingers.
Thing. Yeah.
Thank God she's chopped at two fingers.
So anyway, I've been into UFC fighting. So I found this UFC fighter named Kyle Kingsbury in an incredible display of solidarity with the LGBT community. He revealed his underwear. You know when they weigh in, they drop trowel. Right and get on the scale, and this guy drops his pants, and he has bright pink underwear that says "Legalize Gay" right on the
and
ass.
He bends over like,
and bends over. Time. So it's was his shot before weigh-in.
They found out that he weighs the same bent over as standing up. I don't know if anybody else realized that it's the same number.
God, I hope I do.
But oddly, not the same height.
No. They're all 6 inches when they're laying down.
It was his. Anyway,
when the tits go into the armpits, that's a good moment for everybody.
This story doesn't
Trey
share.
Especially for you.
Doesn't share anything about his sexual preference or identity. But it was his last retire. It was his last fight. He did lose. But anyway, thanks for your support.
Yeah.
It's just a good, just a statement to make and going out on top.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or bottom, depending.
You don't know.
Kinda.
Maybe. Trey, share.
Exactly.
We've got this big domestic violence problem, right? Yeah. And I mean, I don't even like have a
not
direction.
The NFL.
Necessarily.
I don't think it's a problem.
In the NFL. And I don't really like have a direction to go with it because I figured there is.
They know how to deal with it in the NFL.
Chat. But I mean, okay, so.
Just knock her out.
Ray Rice from the Ravens, right? Punches his girlfriend in the face and drags her passed out.
Yeah, she does.
Out of the elevator.
Not passed out. Unconscious.
Right. Yeah, because
passed out makes it sound like it happened
like,
exactly.
I was overserved.
I had a daiquiri and a fist.
Right. No, she got punched in the face. Yeah. So obviously, right,
she's a bad elevator rider too.
Yeah.
He's gotten 2-game suspension.
And you know why?
Well, where that sounds real.
He didn't hurt a dog.
Where you get 4 games, right? You get 4 games
for marijuana.
You go to
prison for hurting a dog, but you punch a woman in the face.
That's what, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, but they had already established that. I mean, Ray Lewis King murdered people. I mean, you have all kinds
of... Just don't hurt a dog.
No.
More smoke weed, apparently.
She provoked it.
Yeah. Right.
Well, now,
wait. Wait.
Now, what's the, what
which is the next part of
get?
The story? Four games.
Which two four of the games?
Well, except
two of the states are major league teams.
Josh
it's
Gordon,
legal there.
Josh Gordon, who plays for the Cleveland Browns, who's had more than one instance where he's tested positive for marijuana, could be out the whole year. So because
oh,
when you
yeah.
have repeated,
oh, yes, yes,
when you
yes,
have repeated
right.
tests, yeah. they don't yeah. know if he's going to play this year.
But in an unrelated topic, Aaron Hernandez is still not sending me dick pics.
Oh, I've been intercepting them.
Fuck you.
It's just rude.
If I find a 12th body, they'll probably be releasing him soon.
I actually put up a firewall so all your emails from him go to me.
God damn it.
He's already done the same thing to Louis.
I'm just trying to get one conjugal visit with a hot guy in prison.
I love
shit.
It.
Anyways, wife
I've
beating.
Been taking him cupcakes.
Back to you.
Yeah, just, wait, I'm...
And not the Ultimate Fighter cupcake
Return
either, like real.
The sender.
The, anyway, so just like a really bad, bad, bad thing overall for the NFL, and it's not, and they're, God, because what were they saying? Somebody, I don't think it was someone official, actually. I think
ESPN?
It was on the,
First Take.
It was a Take 20 line on that show you hate.
The talk?
Yes, the talk radio here in Arizona, KTAR, Mac and Gatos, or something. And they do this 20, you know, call them with your take.
The top 20, right.
And so someone was saying, well, it's, this was like a fan of his and the Ravens or something. And they were like, well, I mean, it's not for the NFL to decide. It's really, that's really for them to decide in their
she married
own
him
personal
after.
Relationship.
She married him.
She did marry him.
When she woke up. She married him.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which
she
which
herself, she doily got to
doily. Doily.
Yeah.
I love
which
it.
Another woman was saying she's bad on her for really not taking this opportunity. Like, you know, shame on you, shame on Rihanna, right? Like, you don't take the opportunity to stand up for domestic violence, stand up against your abuser and blah, 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 and like make a statement. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's horrible, obviously.
Well, what you should know is, you know, training camps have started and Ray Rice showed up to Baltimore Ravens training camp to a standing ovation.
Wow.
Because people go out, fans go out and they watch. I want to watch them practice, you know, like idiots. Standing ovation because we love football and we love the NFL and nothing's going to stop us from loving our players and our teams.
Blinders
that
on.
Was
what,
one
unless
of the,
you heard a dog.
What one of the other guys that called in on this line
then you're
was
which
saying,
I'm kind of okay with because dogs are better than people.
Or Redskins.
That this other guy was saying very facetiously was, I mean, who cares what he does at home? Can he catch a football? And that's like suggesting that that's
football,
all
catch a football.
People care about, and that's all certainly the NFL cares about, which is so weird because what? Then why do they care if you smoke weed at home?
Right.
You can smoke weed at, you can't smoke weed at
doping.
Home, but
I'm
you
sorry.
Can like beat your wife up at home.
You're not a more intense player because you smoke pot. No.
Yeah.
No.
That's, no. You're not all of a sudden going to be like, I'm on my game. Well, maybe
there's another really sad part.
You know, I'm going to the end
you
of the
I heard the game starts at 4:20. I'm going to be there at 4:20. And that pizza commercial looked delicious, so I'll be right back.
Oh, it's on that chunky soup.
But then the next piece is, of course, ESPN. So Stephen A. Smith, who's just an asshat, making going on this rant about domestic violence in his program called First Take and says that victims of domestic violence need to be mindful of the elements of provocation when dealing with their abusers.
Well, now, the one thing I will say in his defense is that every other sentence in that really rambling rant was you do not for any reason hit a woman.
Then why would this just come out in the middle of that?
Because it was taken out
because
of context.
Because they're taking it out. He just keeps saying you shouldn't hit a woman, but you also need to know if you're the woman, like, because there's a thing that the woman, that the girlfriend or the fiance hit him first.
Well, she looks like a tough bitch.
Right.
So I believe
And this is the thing, is like this, and this is Whoopi Goldberg had the same point.
I
like,
watched her on The View. Yeah.
If you hit somebody, regardless of your sex, expect to be hit back.
Yeah, why would you not expect to be? I mean,
like, don't think anyone's going to stand on chivalry when you threw the indefensible. But,
right.
And what this guy Stephen Smith? If you watch that rambling rant,
right.
Every other sentence is, but under no circumstances do you hit a woman. He's just kind of, and it's kind of like blame the rape victim.
And,
so it was good for one half, and then the other half is like,
it sounds a very blame the
rape
victim.
Well, the thing is, Stephen A. Smith is, I never really cared for him. He's a blowhard. But a lot of people are making that comparison and saying, oh, it's like, you know, the whole, what was she wearing? You know, she's asking for rape. Yeah. And it's really not at all.
Yeah.
He, and as Al pointed out, he prefaced, not just prefaced, but peppered his entire comments with, no, you don't hit women. You know, maybe he shouldn't have even gone there at all. Right. But he did. Yeah.
Which I think
but
is
now
just
he's getting suspended for longer than Ray Rice is.
Yes. Yeah.
When all he did was, I mean, he just kept, not all he did, but he just, there's no artful way to frame that argument. Yeah.
There's
like,
just not.
And then this, the part two of the argument
ladies,
besides,
be careful. Like, it's never, but it is kind of similar. I mean, if you say, like, it's never, 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 never okay to rape a woman, but also girls, if you're going out to a strip club with a bunch of guys, like, maybe don't wear a slutty dress. You know, but also don't, guys don't
right.
do it.
Right.
Like, it's just, I mean, I get it. I get it.
Yeah,
but it's just not okay.
It's
for inartful, a man to come out
you
and
can't,
say that.
You, there's nowhere else to go when Rihanna goes back to the douchehead.
Right.
And when this woman marries the guy that punched her in the face and dragged her unconscious body, when you marry him.
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm sorry, Sarah Palin, we're not going to be on your team.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly can't be too offended by anything that happened because you're so stupid you married him.
Right.
Right.
He hit you. Game is over. The minute.
Although, if you talk to women, if you talk to social workers and women that are involved, that work with women in domestic violence situations, you find that it's often a lot harder than that for the woman to get out, right?
Of course it is.
So, yeah, so this clearly, I would imagine this is probably not the first time it's happened or something along these lines.
In these two situations, you're engaged, there's no financial thing yet, Rihanna, you have your own money.
Rhea.
But the minute someone lays a hand on you, and now the largest occurrence of domestic violence is gay men.
Oh.
Because there is no rule about not hitting another guy.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's
and
true.
And so it's escalating, and I'm sorry, but the.
You need to make one.
Don't you hit that queen. But I am sorry.
How
the
girly
first
was
time,
the guy that you hit?
Right. The first time your relationship turns to violence. Is the last day of your relationship.
Are you talking like physical violence or are you emotional?
Marnie wants some clarification.
No.
I would say emotional violence.
I kind of call bullshit.
But most people in emotional violence don't realize they're in it. But you know when someone hits you.
You're right, but
and sometimes the emotional violence is what provokes physical violence because they're not as good at it.
And
everybody knows that couple where one knows how to dig under the other one's skin and the other one knows how to punch.
Sometimes for these women to get out. And
it really is.
It really is.
And it's about self-esteem.
Oh, yeah.
It's
but that's what everyone
and so
should
I'm
be.
I'm not trying to say that, that you're wrong or that it's this. It's just I have it's such a fine line of being able to say you just need to get out of it, and
because
right.
that's like
what
it's not that easy. But come
so
to someone
hard.
And get help to get out of
trust
it.
Trust me, Oprah's been trying to say that since 1984.
And now there's that new and they did it on The View today. There's that new gun violence commercial. And the women on The View completely missed the point of the commercial.
I don't know.
The commercial is about if someone has a restraining order or your abusive partner, once you report someone as abusive, that takes away their right to own a gun.
Mm.
Once someone is reported as a stalker, as any kind of a domestic threat, anything like that, they can know. And that's this new thing that the...
They can't have a gun, but...
But they can right now. And so now this new thing is... That's the push, but the commercial... Everyone watching the commercial thinks it's advocating for the woman to have a gun because the commercial is so violent that everyone on The View is like, I remember one time I attacked, I wish I had a gun. No, the point is
he doesn't get a gun.
Both of you have a gun,
right?
But he's not allowed to have. You can have a gun because you're not
and
breaking
you
the law.
You get a gun, and you get a gun.
Anywhere and everywhere.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, once someone says to you, and I don't want to bring up a personal story, but we all know relationships like this, especially if you know guys. Once it goes physical. And not the butt fucking kind of physical,
and
but
not,
the punching
not
in
Olivia
the face.
John physical.
Not the good kind of physical.
And come seek help. But if someone says to you, like, I'm being abused, you every support you can.
Yeah.
And what a more difficult thing, though. Oh, my.
There's nothing about it that's going to be easy, but into a relationship with an abuser.
I'm saying for men, even more. I think that
oh, to say that I'm being
abused.
Being abused.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
Well, I mean, they pointed that out
because they do
the side
talk about
women.
That sometimes that women are the abusers. Yeah,
absolutely.
And that would be even harder because then there's a shame spiral that I'm getting beat up by a girl, which is that whole thing about really, can men we get rid of it? Right. Have you seen that video with the throw like a girl or run like a girl?
Yeah. And I just love those little girls when she goes run like a girl and that little girl just like runs her heart out. Yeah. I love it. I love those girls.
That was fantastic.
Okay, so back to sports. Phoenix Suns forward guard PJ Tucker. He's only 29 years old. I mean, he should know better, but what a fucking... I mean, he's fucking some shit up. So he's playing professional basketball, but he was just taken to jail. He was released, of course, following the incident which took place in Scottsdale. And this was a while back that it happened, but just is coming to light. He was considered a leader on the team, but just making stupid mistakes. He was coming home from the W Hotel, and he ran a stop sign. The police noticed that he was possibly impairment. He smelled strongly of alcohol, and his blood alcohol content was 0.201, which in Arizona is actually called a super extreme DUI.
And then later, when they tested him again, it was 222.
Yes, you're right. It was going up.
He says he had one beer.
On the blood test.
He told the police officer he had one beer. Good.
But I want to tell you,
I thought normally people said that they had two.
I thought two was the standard.
Now, remember... No. We judge all alcohol content by Diana Ross going to the video store in a fur coat in Tucson.
And how many drinks was that?
And we have not hit the 0.24 of Miss Diana Ross. You call her Miss Ross, bitch. Renting a video.
Wait, was that I'm the coming thing out. Then, though? Super extreme DUI? Like, I just think I didn't know either. And that's my favorite part of the story is that we have super fucking extreme DUI.
Well, 0.1 now is 0.1 used to be just a DUI, but now that's considered extreme. You have like
It was 0.16 used to be extreme.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. But I think they lowered it because I think all you have is that window of 0.08 to 0.1 like a regular DUI, but it's extreme. So then they had to pick a number of like, well, you're still conscious. And you're way past extreme.
I don't know how you're still conscious at 0.2.
I don't know.
Please,
we'll stick around after the show and we'll tell you.
Do you remember having moonshine?
No.
See?
That's horrible.
That was
horrible.
But I mean, Diana Ross was driving a car in a fur coat renting a video at 0.24. So it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Up to a point.
I witnessed someone with a 0.5 still talking.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah.
I don't get it.
At work?
Oh, that's called alcohol tolerance, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
That is crazy. I would be interested to know, like,
I gave him a full trace share because I accepted my amateur drinking status when 0.5 was staring me in the eye.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. We had to worship
at
that
throne. Yeah, what's happening with someone's body at that point?
Oh, they're dead. But
it's shutting down.
Unless you're this guy.
It was December 30th of 02 is when Diana Ross
was on the phone with the organ donation people. Like, I might have
this shit was pickled and fresh. Yeah, pickled and fresh. No, and that has seriously been and we've discussed this before, the astronaut stalker who drove in a diaper from Houston to Florida is my favorite news story of all time. Number two is Diana Ross in a fur coat on a mountain.
Astronaut diaper.
Going to rent a video.
Just in case I have to pee, I do not want to pull over.
Now, in her defense, she claimed that she got lost in Tucson in the rental car because it wasn't familiar to her.
In the back seat. Where was she lost?
I love that. There's the danger of bad grammar.
I was lost
in the rental car. Get out of the trunk, Miss Ross.
Police pulled Ross over after someone alerted them to a swerving vehicle. She added that Ross said the police were very cooperative and polite. Ross was polite and cooperative.
That's great. I thought she said.
And before she got out of the car, she said, "I'm coming out."
We're going to pay for a lot of this.
It's going to be an expensive one.
Very funny.
So today in sports history, and I just think it's fun because we were talking about UFC fighting, which probably, I don't know if that would have come about if in 1754, on this day, we had not had our first international boxing match. The 25-minute match was won when Jack Slack of Britain knocked out Jean Petit from France.
Jean Petit, brother.
I'm thinking he was smaller.
Jean Petit.
I'm using clues.
Okay-do.
And in 1940, John Sigmund of St. Louis, Missouri, completed a 292-mile swim down the Mississippi River. which just kind of seems gross.
Well, you're going with the current. Yeah. So, you know, it really wasn't that hard.
How long a swim?
It's no Diana Nyad. 292
miles. It took him 89 hours and 48 minutes.
Imagine that. Yeah, just backstroke. Fuck.
How long did it take him?
Or float.
You could have done the whole river in like 3 days.
Chicken tea rocket. 89 hours and 48 minutes.
They swam slower back then.
90 hours.
Good God.
Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of exciting.
You sure he just, he wasn't like trying to swim to shore and like he fell in?
He was a 0.20. He was a 0.20. But they didn't have super extreme DUI in 1940, so nobody knew. They just thought he was breaking
records. He left the moonshine still.
I heard he got lost in the rental boat. Yeah. The rental canoe that he was in.
Get out of the life preserver rack.
He was actually just floating down the river. Mm-hmm. Okay, and now it's time for Nude Beach Blowjob Jet Ski Fight.
That was when Nefertello started.
I wish I had theme music for that. Because that just sounds fun.
You guys, I read this and I just started laughing out loud. Nude beach blowjob jet ski fight leads to wife's death. Guess where this comes out of?
Florida.
Florida!
Well played.
Here's the story.
I think I know the theme music to
here's
play,
the guy, by the way. I feel like you should have a visual.
He's a winner.
This is the guy, the husband.
Pretty
this
eyes.
Is, says, oh yeah. When your shot. Wife catches pretty you blowing shot. Another dude on a boat off of a Florida nude beach, the correct response is immediately apologize, and once the situation is cooled, have a frank, open, and open conversation about your sexuality. What's not recommended? Throwing her off the back of your jet ski and leaving her for dead.
Oh, no.
Michael Dorster was arrested for domestic battery in Passage Key, Florida, after his wife Pamela discovered him in an intimate moment with another man on a boat near the popular nude beach. He and the man were allegedly performing oral sex on each other.
That's called 69 where I come from.
The couple?
It's called $20 where I'm from.
So then after this, the couple, the husband and wife, get on a Sea-Doo and start riding around the bay.
Looking for another guy?
Hey, honey, he came. Want to get on Ski-Doo with me?
He's cute. What about him?
Let me just wipe my mouth and we'll ride together.
They start fighting while they're on the Ski-Doo. Dorster threw his wife off the vehicle four separate times. She reboarded three of the times. Got back, climbed back on.
She's a good swimmer.
The
She's
fourth time, she refused to reboard after hitting her head on the final toss. And her husband.
The final toss. And her, it was a Hail Mary pass. Straight down the ocean.
She got lost in the ocean.
Her husband left her on the sandbar. Of note, both dusters were drunk.
The only thing that could make that story better is that if the husband's name was Marcus Bachman.
Yeah.
But you're saying no.
She was only wearing a life vest when they found her. She was not dead, but unfortunately, she had some pretty serious head injuries
from that final toss.
I think in fairness, she had head injuries and he got hit.
Lots of head.
Law enforcement
she hit
officials.
Her head. She got head.
She
didn't get any head.
She got head.
Are now searching for the recipient of Doster's blowy, as he may be able to
blowy.
The blowy.
Good information.
We need to find the blowy.
Oh, the blowy went missing.
The blowy is out of the picture.
He had a head injury.
The blowy blew it. Yeah, he blew it and then he blew it.
Due to poor orthodonture.
And that's it this weekend.
Sports. And blowjob.
Another stop. And a jet ski and somebody fell off the back of it. All right.
Honey, I just came in his mouth. You want to go to the skidoo?
No, thanks. Just floss. Thank you very much.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Yeah. You've been warned. Good luck.
Buddy, shut up. We realize that's an old intro. He says 90 minutes. That's when the show was actually 2 hours. Now it's
remember
3.
That day?
Yeah, that
remember
was a
that
long time
day?
Ago. That's
remember
what I'm saying.
We've
been busy producing shows since you've been gone.
Just anyway, we'll record that.
Entertainment enjoyed by dozens around the world.
Because the show sometimes goes into
tens.
Both people listening. The longest we've gone is 3.5 hours. We've hit the post at 3.5 hours.
Laura wants the story of the blowjob and the skidoo acted out next week. I'll be the missing blowee.
Can I be the Sea-Doo?
If there's a 911 call, let's get a hold of that.
Oh, no, are you the skidoo or the blowee?
That's what we don't know.
What are you, speed buggy?
I heard a gurgling, swallowing noise. I'm not sure if that was mechanic.
Somebody put a blowjob in my carburetor. What the hell was that? You were speed buggy all of a sudden from Saturday mornings.
Every time I suck a guy off in Pensacola, my wife dies.
Oh, we could just get to Boca.
Yeah. Maybe if I blew a guy on a different beach, she'd live. Oh,
oh my gosh.
The goddamn sandbars.
A little semen in Pensacola and it all goes fucking wrong.
Fucking Florida.
Oh my god.
She's dead. I got pubic hair in my teeth. What the fuck? Hell of a day at sea, sir.
Is it a hell of a day at sea?
Hell of a day at sea, sir.
I am not a bitch. As she falls off the sea for the third time.
Not today, Mary Jane. Good what's her name?
Lord.
What's her name, Al?
Are these rental
sea not, not today, Berta. Not today,
not today.
Can you turn this sea in?
All our microphones are turned off.
It's called foreplay, where I'm from. Sorry, just Tom says.
Can you turn the sea in? I'm going with Mark to the bar.
10 minutes tops.
Or bottoms. We're not sure. Yeah.
However you self-identify.
Exactly. Doesn't matter. Can't swing a dead cat in here without hitting somebody.
All right, Marsha, you first.
No. What about Buddy?
Buddy? We have to start with Buddy. Buddy.
If you could change anything about the way you were raised, what would you change?
Oh my god. Wow.
Yeah, you already criticized the disclaimer. You didn't listen to it?
I did.
You didn't know questions were coming?
Anything about the way I was raised. Oh my god.
You could just go with one thing. I just ate a bug.
What does that mean?
You know,
overboard.
I can say this because nobody in my family is listening to this and they're not going to get upset with me. But you know, my family there was never an emphasis placed on education, and I was a good student. You know, I honor roll student, and you know, great grades, went to college and everything. But that was on me. I didn't have parents who were like, you need to, you know, bring home good grades.
They
kind of knew I would, but I had other siblings who, you know, they didn't really care. You know, well, you're flunking out of school. You dropped out as a freshman in high school. Okay, that's your choice. We'll move on. And so I wish that my parents had, you know, really been invested in, you know, my education, really been interested in what was going on at school, you know, whether it's in the classroom or extracurriculars. They really didn't have much of an interest in that. And I see that going on also now with my sister and her family. You know, my sister she has two adult children now who, you know, she was very young when she had kids and, you know, went through a lot of difficulty. I think Katie and I have discussed this before about we have some people that we know anyway who, you know, run into really difficult times, whether it's drugs and whatever, homelessness, that kind of thing. And my sister went through some rough times. So she raised these two adult kids and, you know, they didn't have great educations. You know, they ended up going to both of them went to a charter school that's in a strip mall, you know, and got some little phony degree, you know, piece of paper. And
now she has another
smaller 9-year-old now who, you know, they're trying to get a little more involved with, you know, because, you know, they're in a better place. They, you know, but I see some things. I'm like, no, you need to push her. And I want to kind of get involved in her upbringing a little bit. And I'm always kind of making suggestions about that kind of thing, you know, like, you know, why don't you send Abby to, you know, this extracurricular event or get her involved in this.
I mean,
they do, but then at times I can see it going down the same road where she gets into high school and she's like, you know, and I don't really feel like learning. And they're like, okay, well, we'll send you to this charter school down the road.
Yeah, Primavera, you know, beautiful high school.
Because it's hard, because school's hard for her or something. But so anyway, back to, you know, my upbringing, I wish that my parents and my family had really had, you know, placed an importance on education. So,
okay. Yeah. Before we go on in the chat room, the question obviously is, what would you have changed about your upbringing? Laura said her parents.
Yeah.
Just
and,
in general.
And Harrison and, said that she wished that she would have been more understood as a child.
Being able to feel that way. Yeah, I agree with that. I would. Marina. It would be the chili cook-off 2004.
Oh my God!
Still using that.
By the way, fast answer though. Fast answer.
That's still the classics never die.
No. Still pertinent.
Trey Share.
2 years later, we're still using the same fucking joke.
I forgot I gave my goddamn bell away.
By the way. Fuck off! That's a funny joke. No, like, I know. Finally getting there. No,
but in fairness, we're all still using this.
Looks like it's best in the perfume, Connor.
I'm just saying.
But we're always using that.
Yes, we're still. We're still.
Same song. That'll never. Same song.
Same song. I've got that too.
Same song.
Same song.
Always funny.
It really is.
Poker face.
Let me just take a sip.
Because you can't poker face. Same song.
There's a lot of drinking in my house when I was little. As a joke, I just took a sip of the cocktail. But there was a lot of drinking in my house when I was young.
And not even yours?
Not mine at the time, no. Mm-hmm. And, it was good for me in being able to be not directionally challenged. Because I had to get us home from everywhere, you know, 5, 6, 7, no, turn here, no, go there. Yeah. But to say, like, I would want the drinking to change, I don't know. I mean, yeah. But the silence, I think, was the biggest thing that I'd want to change. Mm. I hate silence. That's why I love Al so much.
You must fucking love Al.
You have no idea. Like, when I tell him I love him, like, he doesn't understand that I really, really do.
That I end all silence.
You do.
And sometimes he'll even interrupt you. May I just, while you're talking?
Yeah, exactly.
Al, I want to tell you how much, may I just?
But it just doesn't bother me. I think it's beautiful. Whenever it was really quiet in my house, I was very unnerved.
Mm.
Very, very unnerved. And to this day, it's the same thing. Like, I want to be able to talk things out. I want, you know, whether it's going to make it better or worse, I don't care. I just want to be able to talk it out. So I would think I would change that. Yeah, I think I would change that.
Okay. Interesting. That went with the music very nicely, too. Yeah. You got a nice jazz
sign off.
Exit, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
Delilah.
Come on, exactly what I'm going to say. Trey Share.
I don't know. I don't really know what I would change. And I know that is just so, like, I feel
not answering the question.
But I really had a great childhood. I had a great upbringing. My house was never quiet. Mm-hmm. We had lots of.
But there's got to be something in there flip a switch the other way.
I had a really close relationship with my dad growing up and not so much with my mom. Mm-hmm. But I have a very close relationship with her now, so it doesn't bother me. You know, I think it was, but when I was younger, you know, we were never like buddies. She was never the cool mom. And I think she was really focused on work, and she was a teacher of young children. Mm. So she went to work, and I think she made that distinction at work. Like, these are my students, and I teach you, and that's it. So she kind of was the same way at home. She was always, doing work at home. It was always grading papers. Mm-hmm. She was a really wonderful, wonderful, and still is an amazing cook.
For your birthday cake.
Oh, yeah.
Only one who can make a birthday cake.
And she, that's right. You remember that. So, but she would always bake a lot of things or make stuff for her classroom, and they were always for her kids in her classroom. And I don't know, she just wasn't very affectionate. And sometimes but that doesn't bother me because I have a great relationship with her now.
But it bothered you then?
I guess
then?
It did bother me then. Yeah, but sure. I've taken those things and I'm different with Palmer.
Sure.
Like
Which is the follow-up question to this. Like, if you had kids, what would you change?
Noticeably am different. And
you can't answer that yet.
I think that it is absolutely. Yeah. My parents used to tell us, we're not your friends, we're your parents. And that I totally respect, especially now being older. Like, yeah, we're not buddies. You're there to, like, keep me in line and be my parent and raise me. So I think there's that fine line, but I feel like I'm just more affectionate with Palmer than my mom probably was ever really with us.
I say that with people all the time that have like issues like that. That's how they loved you, and you can't question that. Like, you know, like my mom was a very stoic German woman. Like it was all kept in like hushed tones and asides and stuff like that. So to expect her to be Julie Andrews and the Sound of Music was never going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But when she might did she ever have song. Those moments?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where you just went, oh, and love that.
But they were very, quiet, very like
stoic German,
aside, stoic German. And my sister's mother-in-law is the same woman. Like she's very stoic, and there's not a lot of like warmth and gooiness and it, but it's and you're, but you know you're loved moment. Then you get like one little like a little extra
some squeeze
what feels like whatever. It's not really a hug and then there's an extra squeeze.
Oh, my mom doesn't we still and Kelly's actually noticed this, like when we show up to Kelly's family, everybody hugs every single time. It's hugging hello, we could leave 15 minutes later and it's hugging goodbye and it's like a lot of hugging. And when with my dad, I come in and my dad and I hug and kiss every single time, you know, when we see each other, and he hugs and gives Kelly a kiss on the cheek. And my mom is just not that person. She's not a hugging. She's just not like that person. Right. But it did bother me to an extent when I was a kid, only because I looked at my friends who had like the cool mom. And I was always like, oh, I guess I just don't have the cool mom.
Yeah. And it's not. Yeah. It's just a different type.
You know, but yeah, I love her now. Also, I was really financially irresponsible and I blame that all on them. So send me money at P.O. Box.
I like that postscript to her entire diatribe about her family. By the way, I'm bad at money and they sucked at it.
That's rich dad, poor dad.
My parents are really good at money. My parents are very financially responsible, but they didn't teach that to us.
Do I have time to add on to that? We're going to go along, right? My inability to handle money in a way, I kind of thank my parents for that a little bit, because we were growing up, we were lower middle class.
Yeah.
Lots of times when, you know, one parent would be out of work for a long time and we had to really stretch it. And, I mean, a lot of hard times.
Yeah.
But my parents, you know, to their detriment, were never about really getting ahead and saving a lot of money. Mm-hmm. When we had a little extra, it was filet mignons. You know what I mean?
They just blew
and it. I actually love that now. Looking
Dad
back,
just got a new job.
I'm like, you know what? And I'm the same way. And that's to my, you know, not to my credit. I could have saved a lot more.
Because you have none.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
But I agree with
Sorry
that.
You can't be here next week.
But I'm like, you know, that's why I am the way I am. Yeah. I'm the same way with money. And I kind of, those were good memories, though.
Yeah. Those are like good times. Yeah, good times.
Yeah, we got 2 weeks off. Get in the car. We're going somewhere else.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Fuck these people. We're leaving.
And and we're not going to have it in 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, exactly.
But we know how to live that way.
Uh-huh. Right.
No, and my folks were the opposite. Yeah, they were really good with money, but they didn't make us work for anything. I mean, we like had we all had jobs working as lifeguards. We all did it, and it was just fun.
But the job was just fun money.
It was fun money. My parents paid for college. They paid for my phone bill. They paid for my this. They paid for everything. And so then when I woke up one day in overwhelming credit card debt as a college student and didn't know what the fuck was going on. Yeah. I mean, I knew what was going on, but I wasn't prepared.
That's like chapter 4 of my first book. Who spent all this money on credit cards?
You're going to have to pay this back.
They were all telling the truth about credit cards. I just wasn't listening. Yeah. They just, motherfuckers.
They gave and gave, and then I thought credit card companies also did that.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Sure. This give. Clayton?
A programming note, 2 weeks from tonight, filet mignon will be served in the studio.
Buddy,
if you can't make it, buddy, sorry. But we'll still be enjoying that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Boneless.
Just an interesting thing that Meow Cal
says.
Probably
will be bringing that.
wished his parents communicated more because his mother underwent surgery and he didn't know about it until she came home 2 days later. Laura's is mental health issues. And then Molly says, I wish my mom hadn't disclosed so much when I was young. It's the straight hair, curly hair. I wish mom talked more. I wish she'd shut up.
Right. I'm so curious, though, about like what Molly means. Yeah, what do you mean?
I
mean,
and Molly, please, because I agree with that.
Yeah,
my mom
Well, we can imagine
as
how Parker's going to, or Porter, what's her name?
Parker.
Palmer.
fucker.
Oh, little Porter Wagner.
Little P is fine.
A lot of rhinestones.
How little P is going to be having this conversation in 25 years in a radio show.
Oh, yeah.
Very doily walking.
I think Palmer's going to need to call you later, Molly.
Yeah. Molly, you in danger, girl.
Fast forward 20 years.
Fucking darn it.
Fucking darn it. Again, not in the word.
Dang it. Fucking dang it.
Only if she finds the, you know, time capsule.
I like the selective elimination of the word.
And I agree with where Molly's going with the money problems and adult family problems, that kind of thing, where my mom was very there was the Ryer family, and then there was my mom's opinions of the Ryer family. Mm-hmm. And they were always very good to her, so I got very confused.
Right, right.
Because they were also kind of shitty sometimes, right. Just like anybody in a family would be.
Right.
And so it was kind of back and forth, and as a kid, you get a little confused. You're like, what?
Because you're in the middle.
Do you hate? Do you like? What? Shit! What is happening?
Because you're trying to form your opinion.
Absolutely.
And your alliances.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. Oh, exactly.
You know, I'm 6, 7, 8 years old, and I'm like, but I love my mom.
And then you realize the people that, regardless of someone else's relationship in your family, right. You have your own relationship. Because right. There's someone in my family that everyone's kind of down on, but I find her delightful.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's what... Like
and now everybody
into.
That listens, because now the whole family listens, because now they're going to be wondering who that person is.
Who is that?
Oh, they'll be calling in a minute. Mr. McKee, I'm sorry.
Let's just say that she and I have never had the same last name, if that helps the story.
Pining it down. Yeah. Pretty sure. Well, I would think that those of you who know me, based on that question, the first thing that that you might think that I would answer would be that I wish that I wasn't from the, quote, broken home, because I come from a divorced family. But I've really never looked at it as a broken home, because... I think I understood then, and I've always understood that it was beneficial for all parties to go their separate ways.
Oh,
because there were issues that were shielded from me, and Mom and I have discussed this many times. She never let us see the bad side, the things that were going on. So I never knew anything was wrong. Just all of a sudden one day we're gonna live over here and he's gonna live over there, and I see him every couple weeks. And then as I grew up, and I think it's just the role that I took on, which I still take on today, is I just know that there's something that's got to be accomplished and we got to do something. So I just stepped into that role and I just kept going. And I never look, unless it's a conversation that Mom hasn't had with me, I don't think I as a kid ever looked back.
Do not put in the chat room.
So it wasn't something that I just focused on, here's what we got to get done. Right, here's what Mom needs. Here's what's got to go. So the one thing that I would change, though, because that's certainly the divorced parents is nothing that I would change, because again, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wouldn't have happened, and I don't know where my mother would be if it would have stayed together, because that might have turned out unfortunate. The one thing that I think, as and again, it was a personal thing of mine, I know that drama club, band, things like that were, I mean, I was never into sports, but things that you would have thought that I would have pursued more were available to me, though, even in our smaller hometown. Certainly they were more available in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where it was a little bit bigger. But I never pursued any of that. I never did, because I was more focused on work for me, or, you know, I needed to have a car to take care of things, or, you know, things need to be taken care of at home. I always stepped into that role of needing to do stuff. And I don't regret any of it.
It's not about regret. It's just like, what would you...
I think that I have, in time, wondered... Where would I be now, or what could I have accomplished had I pursued X, Y, or Z?
Absolutely. Right.
So that is about the only thing. Other than that, I really don't. I don't have anything big that I'm like, God, if I could have just done differently.
Yeah,
but
me
to,
too.
But to Buddy's point, in regards to monetary things, my mom's parents and my mom, phenomenal with money.
Yeah.
Could stretch a dollar from here to hell.
Yeah, squeeze a penny till it screams.
And still have 10 cents to turn around on. I tend to think that because I manage well, and I can make things last if I need to, but I think the bigger picture with me and money does come from my father's side with the family, because there was a lot of money on that side. And I remember growing up that if there was ever a problem, it was somebody got a new car, somebody went shopping,
somebody, there was all, you know,
that's how they dealt with right. their issues.
Later, I found out that this was the same side of the family that medicated everything with pills and vodka.
Stories usually combined.
So it's a give and take. I like the vodka, the pills, yeah. Yeah, but anyway. But no, but I think my money.
Do you still have those pills?
No,
if you don't. If you didn't like them. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
They
we have ways of disposing.
No,
I have a personal disposal program.
These are pills that would have been from the 70s. I
By
have
way,
a feeling.
Good not way to those make. Some
I've seen Wolf of Wall Street. I know the good of them.
Okay. But no, but that's it. Other than that, I would have just changed the fact that I individually would have pursued extracurricular activities in the vein of drama or some other.
Well,
outlet.
Luckily, you get to work out your dramatics here.
Yes, I do.
911 theater or whatever it's called.
I do. That is so much fun. And the drama, we all know how big the drama is.
I pretty much live with that noise.
No, you do all the time. Yeah, turn a corner and he's like, dun, dun, dun.
So yes. What was yours?
Perkins.
Well, the point of this question, and I always bring it back to the what's the word? The profundity of the song The Way We Were, of like, it's what we choose to remember and how everything just kind of gets this golden haze to it. And you just start to like pick and choose how you want to remember it. Plus, we're just all too
That's
old
true,
to bitch
yeah.
about childhood dilemmas on it. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
It happened.
If you're still holding on to some shit,
it's way too late. I mean, you're more than a decade behind me, and it's just too late.
Yeah. Or get a podcast and just work it out right here.
Right.
That's how we know.
True. Absolutely.
Once you're legal to drink, I don't ever need to hear about your childhood issues again. That's kind of my point. Which is, I probably just made up that rule in the last couple of years, and I'm sure I bitched.
Or now.
But, so everybody in my family and like the now the next generation is my cousins and I got together, my sisters and some cousins got together because everybody's dead now. So now we're the oldest generation.
Right.
So we've kind of taken on this responsibility of like now we have to preserve the history of now the stories need to be told and told to someone else. Like, what do you know about our grandmother, our grandfather? Because a generation past that, because my grandparents are from the 1800s.
Right.
Except for one, all of my grandparents were born in the 1800s. Mm. So very old people. So there isn't another generation to talk about. We just have to know their story, get our parents' story, and then make sure everyone knows who's connected to who in this generation. So it's just kind of weird to sit and tell those stories. And now, like, my family, we've drinking, disclosing, not disclosing, yelling, good with money, bad with money, but a lot of constant fighting. That never went anywhere. Like, we never grew from, like, now when I have a fight with someone, I want to, like, if we get to the end of this, can we solve something?
Right.
Or
right.
just stop
right.
fighting?
There needs to be an outcome
closure.
Of some sort.
Right.
Yeah.
And I wish,
like I said, whether it's good or whether it's bad, we just.
I wish there had been a referee to be like, okay, we've had this fight. This one's late. This one likes to be there early. This one's unemotional. This one just wants to listen to Donna Summer. So can we.
Which one are you?
How come? Who am I?
I don't know.
No, I'm talking about my family.
Oh, because you just described the four of us as well.
Oh, right. But
I really did.
But
it included me.
Yeah.
Because I bring the whole family back to, you know, and I got to search him out and find him and get him near me. But so I wish someone had said, stop with these. And we still have the same fights. Like, my one sister wants to get somewhere 10 minutes before it opens. The other one wants to sleep in. And I don't give a shit. If it's there when we get there, it's there. If not, did I really need a Mother Teresa commemorative plate? No.
You don't need
you.
One, but it's nice.
Like, there's nothing inside
nice
that.
Things.
But we still have that same fight all the time.
Right,
I wish we could get
them.
Somewhere productive. And, like, can we stop having this fight? You want to get there early and buy it. You don't care when you get there. And I don't want the thing that we're buying. So can we just resolve this fight that we've been having?
Can you go alone? Can you go alone?
No, and that's seriously, then that was what we all do. Let's just go on your own time.
Good.
So that would be my thing, is to just,
Brilliant.
Can all of these silly family arguments just come to some conclusion where we, at some point, accept each other as like, this is how this is going to go.
Warts and all. Just accept you. You're crazy, and I know you're crazy, and you're going to go your own way.
And you know that from Tim and I living together for all those years, that we started to have a fight one day, and I was too tired. I'm like, listen, we've been doing this for 30 years. Hmm? I'm not in the mood.
Yeah.
It can get really ugly, or you can just say, I want you to move out. And he was like, I want you to move out. Good. How about September 15th? Good.
That's
we're
how
done.
It ended.
And we're done. And I bet that...
Because I was too... I'm like, I could set my watch by our fights. Like, do we have to go back to, like, what you did to me in 1981 or the shitty thing I said to you in 19...
But it's safe
but we can.
Trip, I would assume.
How did the time... No. How did the time go from that, yes, I want you to move out, and then September 15th?
Oh, beautifully.
But that time, like, because the weight was off.
Somebody finally just had to say, like,
because everything was lifted.
Just be done.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, no, we were not, you know, and then we realized, like, hey, it would be nice to maybe see you and not you be in the living room.
Right.
Right.
Or maybe seeing you somewhere where you're not in your pajamas would be nice. So. So then I'm going to just steal the rest of the show. We'll just run as long as we have to because I got a little letter.
I thought you were going to bring this up.
I wondered what that was.
So
okay.
I received a letter from the New York State Department of Health.
Are you familiar with all of this?
Oh, I don't know, but you'll catch up.
Okay. I'm a smart cookie.
Yeah.
Okay, now how this came to me is it
poor smart cookie.
think Philomena.
3 weeks. Yeah, Philomena. Oh, inspired this whole story. Okay. So 3 weeks of mail gets delivered in one day, and I'm going through everything.
Oh, my bad.
And I open up this letter from the New York State Department of Health, and I open it up because it's tri-folded, so I open it up to this, and it says, not reported, not reported, not reported, not reported. Everything's not reported. So I'm thinking, this is the most useless fucking piece of information. And then what does it say? Race. White.
And oh, this
we
is
have
when
confirmation.
When you found out you weren't a strong black woman,
right?
Right.
The moment I discovered,
the moment I discovered I was not a strong black woman, so I'm like, seriously, like I hired a private investigator. I paid all that fucking money to find out I'm white. I'm on sunburn number 3 in less than 3 weeks. Parts of me are peeling that should never have seen the sun. You're right. Thanks, guys. I'm white.
What? For those listeners just catching up, Al is an adopted gentleman from. The New York area, or Buffalo,
Niagara
New York,
Falls.
I'm sorry, Niagara Falls area, and he sent away to the state of New York to find out information about his
Well, I hired someone to mail this letter. Right, the worst part. So, I could have done it myself, but as everyone knows, I would rather throw money at a problem than actually just, do something
can
myself.
You fix it? Right.
Because I'm not quite finished watching my fifth hour of The Leftovers on HBO today.
So Al is getting all of this mail in regards to his status in Niagara Falls.
So it's the adoption information registry. You obtain this information from your original birth certificate, because like look at the glaring typos on this. The records of the court and the agency that handled your adoption. Some of this I knew it was a private adoption. I knew quite a few details, and I thought all this thing said was white. So Guy Warner, who is the director of the New York State Department of Health, says, I hope that you find the information that we were able to obtain for you to be helpful. Our records indicate that you are registered for both non-identifying and identifying information. Therefore, the adoption registry will keep your case open. Should the adoption registry receive all the necessary registrations from the individuals involved in your adoption, which means the birth family has to apply in the same way, and then they will combine the records and say it's the same case number. She says yes, he says yes.
Okay.
You can release them to each other. So it says, thank you for participating in the New York State Department of Health Adoption Information Registry. Okay, Guy, you're welcome. Like, because I saw that line.
Like,
I thought, that sounds like fun. Let's call that.
That sounds like a game show host.
Let's play Who Are You?
So I'm white.
Now, remember, it's the trifold that threw me, because I looked at it like this, and it just said, not reported, not reported, not reported, white. So non-identifying information concerning the birth parents at the time of the adoptee's birth. So my mother was 35, which, good news, bad news. She was alive. I don't know what the good news is in that. But the bad news is she would now be 82 years old.
Maybe she was Elaine Stritch.
Yeah, exactly. But slightly older.
Stritch.
She's a deadpan. People think that she's dead. Nationality, USA. It's a border town. I can understand that question being asked.
Sure.
Ethnic background, not reported. So nothing.
You might be black.
No.
Still
around hope.
No, we're getting to race in a minute. Okay. But ethnic background, and because from what stories were told around the neighborhood, I guess there's an Italian-Jewish combo in there somewhere.
You could be Inuit.
Which some of the exactly. Some of the neighbors are really enjoying, because they're like, that's why you like spaghetti sauce so much. Oh. So,
I get it.
Physical appearance, height, weight, hair color, eye color, skin color, other characteristics, not reported, not reported, not reported, not reported, not reported. Religion, not reported for both. Education, not reported. Occupation, here's the kicker. Nurse's aide.
Oh, wow.
Doomed to the career of nursing.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
No way
around this. Okay. From birth mother to adopted mother to your own personal experience.
Yeah, wow. So, and this is my favorite question, because how does this come up on such a trying day as I'm giving up my baby? Could you tell us about any talents, hobbies?
Oh, my God.
Well, I tap dance.
and I'm a full bottomist.
That would be great if that actually had stuff that filled out.
Just make something up here. I'm into dressage,
which I now know how to pronounce. Okay.
So that's what I thought the bulk of the letter was. And yeah. So, but I finally sat down in the toilet to read. And it says, health history of the birth mother. The pregnancy was normal and lasted full term. You were born at 5:46 in the p.m., which none of us were sure of. A time of birth I never really had. Okay. I think there was like a 6 p.m. guess, but no one knew. I weighed 7 pounds, 3 ounces. No congenital malformations were noted, so I wasn't a freak.
Good. Well,
positive.
But here's the analogy. There were 4 children born to your mother prior to you. Oh. There were no children born to your mother prior to you. So again, full of typos. So they exist or they don't?
Probably after.
Maybe yes, maybe.
But right. why
would you keep going back? Can I update that? I just had another baby. Right.
I guess that's true.
So, I need to amend that.
So they were 3 male children's.
Shut up, chillin'.
You may be black.
3 male children.
You unintended racism.
I think you meant that one. 17, 15, 13, and 1 female, 11. So I have 3 brothers and 1 sister. But again, like the youngest one is 58, 60, 62, and 64. Like, like everybody in this story is like old. And this is, you know, I grew up in a cancer cluster. So. Things aren't looking good for the story. Okay. No further information is available regarding your siblings, and none of them are registered with the adoption information registry at this time. So there's a chance that none of them knew.
They might not even know.
My mother could have gone away to I got to go help with Aunt Sally for 8 months and 4 days. You know what I mean?
Wow, Al, that's crazy.
Health history of the birth father. No health history was reported. And here's this. I can't believe this was in here. Facts and circumstances relating to the nature and cause of the adoption. Your father abandoned your mother prior to your birth. Your mother was married, but her husband was not your father. Your mother signed a voluntary surrender of her parental rights for the purpose of adoption. She did not name your father, which is why it's all not reported. Yep. And the adoption was handled through a private placement. And we all, growing up, it turns out I knew the lawyer as well, but he's dead. No agency was involved, and regrettably, no further information is available. And then Guy is kind enough to sign it personally. So, so there's a lot of information here, and that they have, you know, I provided them with what we believe is the last name. We have a career. I think now that we know that the private investigation company is legit and they do actually file forms for a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's interesting that there's a next step coming. Like now we have ages, probably names, a career, a job that you could trace. Yeah.
So she was married.
And I knew that. I knew that she had allegedly had an affair, but I had said in a tearful part that I thought maybe something bad had happened to her. She got pregnant that way. Sure. But what relieved that was in interviewing all the neighbors. And again, stoic German woman who did not like to talk about this. And when, like, you couldn't get her drunk and get her to talk about it.
Yeah.
So what she knew was she had divulged the Italian Jewish part to friends, but that my father had been trying to get money for the adoption.
Right. I remember you
said it wasn't until
your birth father
was trying to extort money or get paid for it. And when he found out there was none is when they could finally go through with it. So
I remember that, Al.
Involved. So that means it's probably not a horrible story was that involved in the periphery. But in that I was snuck out of the hospital. But to get away from the birth father, they sent my sisters after church to my grandparents' house, and my parents went to the lawyer's office. The lawyer went to the hospital, took me from the mom just outside the hospital door, and then brought me back to his office where my parents were waiting, and that's where the exchange happened. So there's no like official people that could be witness, you know, there's nothing that's you could do Philomena with where like there's a nun that remembers.
Yeah.
It was all done
snuck out the back door.
By 3 of the 4 characters are dead, and we don't know the fate of, well, we know the
Number four
is me, but number 5 is that woman who's in her 80s.
So, but as you've always said,
is only 2 or 3 years younger than my mom was at the time. Like depending on when her birthday is.
Sure.
So I was expecting a much younger woman. Like you know what I mean. But the Philomena thing, where everybody's older, and it's like, is it too late? Is what we're getting at.
But we still have validation that your adopted mother, your mother Ruthie, delivered you.
Oh yeah. That part doesn't change.
So that all's there. What I did not know is that the exchange, it wasn't like catch the baby, run. It was outside of the hospital. Like there was a handoff outside of the building itself.
Yeah, and that's how it had to be done. But I was born on a Thursday and I came home on Mother's Day. So the Sunday was Mother's Day that because it's always on a Sunday. So that I came home on a Sunday.
Got it.
And that's how it all had to go down. And they only had the, you know, she got home Thursday night from work. Then it's Friday, then Saturday, and then Sunday. And that's why my cousin that I always say, that's why she's a foster parent. She does all those things with adopted children, because when she was two, she had to give up her crib and sleep in a big girl bed. And like her whole life changed because they needed all the baby stuff back
for you,
for me. And she's like 2 years and just a little bit older. So they're like, no more crib, no more baby stuff. You're all grown up now, girl.
Right.
That shit's going to a smaller baby. So, I mean, that's her connection to
it. You're sleeping on an ironing board between two chairs. Right.
We just pulled out this dresser drawer and there you are.
I love it.
So, miracles.
That's cool, Al. I mean, it's good to get that information.
It really was. And I have to tell you, like, we had been out for a couple drinks and I knew my mail was coming. And I went through and it seriously was like, I couldn't get over the white part. And I'm like, is it just 1967? Like, was somebody worried that I wasn't white?
Right.
You know what I mean? Not that it wouldn't be interesting to find out I was half something. But when you look at me, you're like, yeah.
So
there's not a lot of variations on this one theme.
So with all this information now,
but it really
that you've
was
got...
like reading about somebody else. Like, sure. It took a full day, and like my sister called right away, and I was telling her the story. And I'm like, I just feel like I'm reading a book about somebody. Like, this is no, like, I have no personal connection.
It's nuts. This is like your backstory.
And so, then like a day or two later, I read it a couple more times and I'm like, okay, that's all me.
Okay.
That's,
so with this letter now in hand and this information known, what is the next step? If there is one for you?
Nothing. And because I hired the PI, so they're in charge of everything. Like,
is something else still going on or no?
Oh yeah. And according to them, the people that they're investigating will never know that they're being investigated. Like, they have a last name, now they have ages, they have a occupation for her. We're 99% sure of the last name. Okay. So, and there's hospital records involved. And
I was
like,
going to say, they know what hospital and what day you were born.
And what
some
time.
Records, maybe? These were our patients.
At that time. And, you know, you got to find a family with this dynamic going on. So, and they said that they could find it through a whole bunch of different records.
That's
and when
really
I gave them my information, they're like, you just made it that much. You know way more than anybody should.
Oh, so you helped them
because
out.
Because Ruthie was there. Because I asked her point blank. I'm like, okay, now I don't remember a lot of patients that I work with, but if I took your baby home, I might remember. The last name might stick with me.
Like a couple distinguishing features, maybe.
Something about that day is going to stand out.
Because remember, when you charted that, you signed it.
Yeah.
Remember?
Now, May 10th wasn't very memorable, but what happened on May
11th? Yeah.
That day stands out.
It was like 5-something in the afternoon.
She knew the last name. Okay. Immediately, and she knew a lot of details, and then the neighbors were helpful. But I mean, it came down to every single person that I've talked to saying your mother would not give it up. They're like, she didn't like talk about it, and she said it was for your protection. Like, she said this, we decided on closed adoption, and she just did not. When she decided a topic was closed, it was closed.
Okay.
Sure,
but she understood. She understood when I presented my curiosity, she was like, I will open up to you. Like, I'm not going to tell some gossipy bitch down the street. They're all lovely people, but I'm not going to tell some gossip down the street that's going to come back to you as gossip.
Sure.
But if you ask, I'll tell you directly. And that's the kind of woman she was. Like, if you say it point blank, I'll say it point blank back to you.
So how do you, what do you feel now with, with the letter coming in, the knowledge you've got? What do you think, Ruthie, if you had to call Ruthie today and say, here's what I got, what would she do?
Oh, her response would be like, whatever you think you want to do.
Okay.
Oh, she was not going to be flower and be like, I would talk to this counselor. She'd be like, if you think you have to do it, then you have to do it. That's how she talked.
Yeah.
If that's what you think you need to do. When I got my LASIK done and I got my eyes fixed, she was like, if you think that you need that done, you should just do it. Okay.
I'd like to be able to see, Mom.
You've had this done before. And if you think you need it, then you do it. I'm like, oh.
She had LASIK and didn't guide you?
No, she was not someone who offered up
an opinion.
She was just a stoic German woman, and if she had something to say, she would
not her son. Clearly, because you offer opinions on everything.
She would just kind of like whisper it in your ear. You know, like she would like wash the dishes, and you'd walk up to her, and she goes, "Look at those fucking people over there, trash." But then she would just wash the dishes, and she'd be like, "They're dirty." You know what I mean?
Right.
Or like, look at the dog shit. Who lives here? And then she would just walk by. But she would never, it would never, like, it just didn't show on her face. She was just, You know what I mean? Like, we went and saw a show in Vegas one time, and I leaned over. We saw Riverdance or Lord of the Dance. And I'm like, are you okay if I make fun of this? She's like, something's got to make it entertaining. Like, she never once complained that the show wasn't good. She had nothing. Like, she just... First musical. You can leave at the first act if you don't like it. Okay. Then we're in the intermission. You ready to go? No, I really like it. All right, we're staying. Okay.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just cold, hard facts. It was just Germany. So... There you go.
There we go. Well, all right. Well, that's a nice update. I like that.
So,
thanks for sharing that.
Thank you, Al.
Thank you. It's exciting.
It's exciting.
And we'll follow up with more stuff later as it arrives.
As it
arrives, we'll get there. It's all right.
I love it.
Thank you so much. Wow, we have done. Now, see, buddy, I told you we've gone three and a half.
You did
3 hours 22 minutes.
I was supposed to be back at work 45 minutes ago.
Fuck them.
Well, maybe don't
diarrhea.
Go because that woman
go with the diarrhea
story.
Good diarrhea. Everyone always says, just okay. Good.
Yep.
I hope you're wearing a mask.
Remember,
these days
we will
work.
Not be here live next Tuesday because of my work schedule. So enjoy whatever the fuck is playing on the repeats on the website. Enjoy that. We will be back the following Tuesday,
here.
2 weeks from tonight, to enjoy whatever the hell is going on. Buddy might even show up. You never know. You never know.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be very cool. Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much
thank
for
you for having me. Always a good time.
Trey Sher.
As always, Katie June, Monty Ryan, Al Perkins. My name's Clayton McKee. Woo! Thank you for being with us all around the world. We will leave you with this parting thought.
All around the world.
We will see you next Tuesday.
Bye-bye.
The show on Q Talk America.